Blog Talk Radio.
Leave it in the ring.
Radio.
Go ahead, who's this?
Yo, it's David Chen.
Is it me, man? Is Marquez just a goddamn beast?
Every time Marquez moves up in weight, moves to a different division, he's fighting the toughest competition he can find there. You know, he's not just finding a name that's stylistically good for him. He's fighting the hardest fight he could fight and then winning.
See, if anything's killing boxing, it's boxing. Not UFC.
You know, I won't bash MMA and I won't say, you know, it's killing boxing or boxing is better. You know, everybody has their own opinion.
Leave it in the ring.
Radio.
Shane Mosley versus Margarito sold out the Staples Center, and that was the largest attendance for any event. Everything, every concert, anything. That was the most. And that was just recently. So that's really where boxing is headed, along with the Ricky Hatton, Manny Pacquiao. Selling out.
Leave it in the ring.
Radio.
Okay, but everybody right now, if you're calling in, I got a couple more calls calling in. I'm not going to pass you through at the moment, but there is a chat room. If you look on, there's a chat room. You can start chopping it up or ask your questions, and I will pass you in through as soon as we can. What's going on, fellas? What's going on, Chris? What's going on, Dave? How's everything going, brothers?
It's all good,
buddy.
All right, man. Well, we got some sad news first off before we even get into anything else. We got some sad news in the boxing world. We got Alexa Gregorio, who passed away. You know, so rest in peace. Our condolences go out to his family. This guy was a legend. A legend in the sports game. You know, if you've never seen him fight, he got in there with Aaron Pryor. That was one of his big, big fights where, honestly, it's more recognizable in the households, in everybody's household, where a lot of people were like, oh, yeah, I remember that fight with him, Aaron the Hawk Pryor. You know, other than that, man, there's, you know, we had some up and downs, you know, with boxing. Last week we had Victor Ortiz losing to Madonna and... you know, and some interesting stuff were said about him, and right now I think he's up in the dark with the boxing fans. Not everybody really knows what's going on with him, but he did, you know, after saying what he did in his interview with Max Kellerman, he did clear it up and said, you know what, I spoke a little too soon. I was going off of emotions. I said some things in there that I shouldn't have said, but unfortunately, what he did say really honestly left a big old question mark on where his heart is at with the game of boxing. You know, we do have a guest today that's going to be calling in a little later, which is Roy Jones Jr., ex-pound-for-pound champion of the world, Mr. Superman himself. You know, but I want to make a couple of quick announcements before we talk about anything else, you know, about the Victor Ortiz, and also about Chris Namer-Oriola, you know, making his announcement on a lunch date for the media, talking about why he should be up and next in line to fight one of the Klitschko brothers, okay? But first, then, let's go within... July 10th, man, Havoc at the Hard Rock Cafe, 2 San Diego, California. Rogue Boxing is going to be holding a card. It's in San Diego. The doors open up at 6:30 p.m. And get purchase some tickets. You can go to www.rogueboxing.com to get your tickets. You know, their last event was really good, honestly. Had a good environment. The atmosphere, you know, was really, you know, to cater to young fans to come in. It was outside. You know, my boy Art from Stand and Fight went to it. He covered it. This event will be going down to cover it also, so it should be something else, man. If you want to go get some tickets, go to www.rogueboxing.com. Check it out. Havoc at the Hard Rock 2. It's at the Hard Rock Cafe in San Diego. So, you know, it's going to be some fun. Also, you know, on July 16, a Thursday night in San Jose, the Fight Tank, man, is the local Ricardo Cortez. I'm sorry, El Güero. You know, funny story about that, Chris, is that the Cortez family had contacted me and asked me to train him for this upcoming bout, but since I have so many other things going on at once, man, I didn't have the luxury of getting in there and helping out Ricardo Cortez coming off of his last two losses, which was to Kirtland and Alfredo Angulo, which is nothing to be ashamed of because he lost his two pretty good, tough fighters there. And, you know, but Cortez was trying to get back on his feet, really get in there and kind of readjust himself to get himself back into the mix into the either the junior middleweights or the middleweights himself. But it's going to be at the Shark Tank. You guys got to go check that out. Go to www.fighttank.com, and you guys should be able to purchase some tickets there. And then also, too, on that same day, Thursday, you're going to have Emmanuel Quesada versus Travis Walker at the Tashi Palace, man. And on the undercard, you're going to have Javier Molina and Sean Estrada. Doors open up at 5:30. You can get the tickets at the TashiPalace.com, or you can just call in at tickets.com, log on at tickets.com, or you can call the number at 1-800-225-2277. You know, but other than that, there's some good stuff to talk about, Chris. And Dave, John the Quiet Man Ruiz called out Chris the Nightmare Oriella. He said, yo, you know what? I'll fight him. If the Klitschko brothers don't want to fight him, I'll fight him. You know, he's claiming that he wants to be the first Mexican. Well, why don't you fight the first Puerto Rican heavyweight champion of the world and get in the ring and mix it up? What are your thoughts about that, Chris, about him possibly stepping in the ring with a quiet man, John Ruiz?
No, don't do it, Chris. Chris is trying to get his name out there and market himself, you know, get public demand. The last thing you want to do if you want that to happen is fight John Ruiz. You know what I'm saying? Style-wise, I haven't seen one John Ruiz fight I was ever entertained by, you know. So that's just, like, the last option. I mean, sure, it's gaining something because Ruiz is a former champion, like you said, in the Puerto Rican Mexican rivalry, but I honestly don't think anyone aside from John Ruiz and maybe his family and maybe whoever's promoters want to see that fight happen.
Absolutely. You know, David Chan, any thoughts about the quiet man calling out Chris the Nightmare Oriella right now at this stage of his career?
Well, I think it's better for John Ruiz than it is for Chris. I mean, John Ruiz has been out of the game for a while now. He's just looking for something to latch onto. He sees this new guy trying to make his name, and he's saying, well, why don't you fight me? I got nothing to lose, everything to gain. I think if Chris wants to stay busy, he should fight somebody else. If he wants to fight somebody with a name, he should fight a real guy. He shouldn't have to compromise halfway and fight a old name, but, you know, nothing to gain. You see what I mean?
I hear what you're saying and stuff, but marketability, I mean, to market a fight, don't you guys think that's a pretty good way of marketing it, the whole Mexican and Puerto Rican rivalry? You know, and the funny thing is that I'm not going to get too much into it, but I had a couple emails about Nate Campbell, having Nate Campbell on the show, which we had him on last week, and he, you know, a lot of people felt that there was a lot of, he brings up the whole race card into the sport of game. But the truth of the matter is, that's what boxing is really all about, you know what I mean? Now, there's a whole lot of race cards brought into boxing. I mean, think about it. You know, Mexico versus the Philippines. How more racist can that be? You know, Puerto Rico versus Mexico. Now, you know, the UK versus America, that card is always thrown out there, you know. So, what my point is all about, you know, Chris and Dave, is that that sells. Wouldn't the Chris the Nightmare Mexican-American versus a Puerto Rican-American get in the ring? Wouldn't that spark up some interest among not the hardcore fight fans, but casual fight fans, seeing that two big heavyweights going in to mix it up, an ex-champion versus a guy that's looking to be champion?
I don't think so, only because, you know, one, even when Ruiz was the champion, he didn't have a big fan base. He didn't even really, you may have to talk to someone like Rob Riddler or someone from Puerto Rico, but I don't remember him having a big Puerto Rican fan base. Plus, like I said, if you're trying to market him for his future, unless he destroys Ruiz like David Tua did years ago, there's no way he's going to come out of that fight looking good, even if he wins and it goes to a decision, because Ruiz ain't going to give you a good fight. It's going to make Areola look like crap, and then no one's going to want to see him fight either of the Klitschko's. They're going to be like, oh, man, well, based on that performance, I don't really care if I see this guy fight again or not.
Well, let's see if maybe Rob Riddler is on the line out of Puerto Rico. Rob Riddler, are you online right now, brother?
Yes, sir.
What do you think about that? What do you think about, you know, John? First off, we can't really hate on John calling out Chris the Nightmare because, hey, every man needs a paycheck, you know. And regardless of what we think, you know, there's always the if. What if he can stop this prospect from becoming a champion, because this has already happened. Look at Victor Ortiz, you know. And the whole word contender, that's the whole reason why I had brought up this word contender, because without contenders, we can't filter out who are the real champions. But Riddler, being Puerto Rican, you know, from Puerto Rican descent, you know, Puerto Rican American, what do you think about this, a possible matchup between these two warriors stepping in the ring?
Here we go. This is another case of a dude that just does not want to let it go. John Weeze, if you're listening to this, dude, just please stop acting a fool and retire. Please, you ain't going nowhere. You ain't going nowhere in boxing, man. Just stop. Stop.
David Chan, man, what do you think about this calling out? And should Chris really, if not getting a chance to face any of the Klitschko brothers, because they, you know, obviously the younger one has already had his date with Chikaya, and now Vitaly hasn't really made up his mind, but he did mention Chris's name. If he doesn't get that fight, to market himself among the mainstream fans, would that be a good idea to step into the ring with the quiet man?
You know, the whole Mexico versus Puerto Rico thing, you can always use that, you know, to your advantage. I mean, honestly, I don't mind if he fought John Ruiz. I mean, it doesn't really do much in terms of, like, building cred with the hardcore fans, but it is a name. And he just needs to win right now. He needs to continue winning, you know, getting his opponents out of there, because just build his image, if anything, as a tough fighter. So I wouldn't be opposed to him fighting anybody at this point. If it has to be John Ruiz, so be it, you know. Just because I don't enjoy the matchup doesn't mean that it won't be good for his career. You see what I mean?
You know, I'm going to go off a limb. I'm going to say it's going to be a good fight. If it does happen, I don't know. I really want to see it happen. I like to see, you know, if Chris can take out this guy. And the reason is because, you know, regardless of what we think, you know, yeah, he's a boring fighter, John Ruiz, you know, he's a hugger. But he is a veteran guy. He's got some tricks up his sleeves, and he can make Chris work for those rounds to really see how well does Chris do against adversary. You know, I don't know. Let's go to caller on area code 909. What are your thoughts about the quiet man calling out Chris, and should he have dips on getting in the ring with the Nightmare?
Hey, what's good as Grand Shaw, y'all? I mean, I think John Ruiz needs to give it up, man. I mean, I think it will actually hurt Chris fighting him, because in the simple fact is John Ruiz, he doesn't have a name anymore. He lost his steam, and I think he needs to fight young Chris, well-known.
But has he got beaten up, though? But guys, has he got beaten up so bad where we say he don't got it no more? I mean, this is a guy that really wrestles his guys. You know, he holds them. He makes sure that he doesn't get really damaged. I mean, yeah, he got schooled a little by he didn't get schooled a little. He got schooled a lot by James Toney. But could we really call him, like, damaged good? I mean, can we really say that he doesn't have anything left in the tank? Grind, what do you think?
I think he has left in the tank, but not for the new, fresh opponents. I think calling out a person like Chris Ariella, it'll just damage more of his career, and it'll hurt Chris in the long factor, because they will say, well, Chris fought an old fighter, so who is he really fighting? He fought an old John Ruiz. He needs to fight young fighters. So, I mean, I think if John Ruiz needs to just fight a moderate opponent or just retire, and I think Chris just needs to stay fit and crisp and keep fighting these good prospects to bring his name more up. And the better opponent you fight, the better you are. And the better him fighting John Ruiz, it's not going to make him better. It's just going to kind of, you know, hold back his career a little bit.
That could be possible. But yet, like I said again, this is a veteran ex-champion. So there is no declining about facing an ex-champion, a guy that's been out there already, a guy that has faced a Holyfield, a Roy Jones, you know, a Tony. To me, it's an experience factor for Chris the Nightmare, because going back to this word, contender, you know, I want to mention this word a lot, contender. Victor Ortiz was a rising prospect. A lot of people already had a lot of high hopes, but not understanding that, you know what, without contenders, there would be no roadblocks for these guys. These guys would have these opportunities to start, you know, picking out of the crop or really being able to dictate their careers and stuff. So having a guy from Argentina to come down and go in there with 25 knockouts and 25 wins and being able to put a stop right now to this young prospect, that's what old champions do too. They're able to put that question mark over these guys to see whether they are legitimate. So I'm gonna say yeah. I like to see if he can't get any of the Klitschko's right now. Why not get in John the Quiet Man Ruiz or possibly how about an Eddie Chambers?
That would be a good fight.
That'd be a phenomenal fight, you know.
Yeah.
And honestly, that would be a more of a pick'em fight, you know, where Eddie Chambers has more of a chance of beating. But let's go on a prediction. Let's just go on the limb right now. You know, Chris out of Sacramento, my brother, 916, Chris, prediction, if Chris the Nightmare Orellana steps in the ring with the Puerto Rican ex-champion John Ruiz, the Quiet Man, what is the outtake about it? What happened? What's the outcome of that fight?
Chris Areola by, I'd say late stoppage. You know, normally I'd say ugly decision, but he's fresh, you know. He moves his hands a lot for a big guy, Areola that is. And, you know, Ruiz likes to hold inside, but Areola can work pretty good inside there. So I think he could work him to the body pretty good. And Ruiz, you're right, he's never been beat down. You know, he's not a guy that's, you know, physically deteriorated, let's say. But he is an older guy, you know what I'm saying, at this point.
Right.
And I'm not for sure he can handle the firepower that Areola would put on him at this stage in his career. So I'd go with Areola by a late stoppage. But up until that point, it would be an ugly fight.
Absolutely. Dave Chin, prediction about the fight? What is the outcome?
I think Chris learned some hard lessons, but he gets him out of there towards the second half.
Man, I got to go with you on that one. I think later in the rounds, I think that, you know, Chris would be a little bit too much. I think there's one thing I like about Chris, he doesn't allow you to hold him. He really knows how to create that distance and push out the guy, you know, the heavier guy, and he can get his punches. And there's another thing that Chris does very well, too. He throws uppercuts, which I like a lot, and I think that's going to be a big toe for John Ruiz. I think that's going to be a big plus for him. So I'm going to say late stoppage or mid-rounds, actually. I'm going to go with mid-rounds that he stops John Ruiz. But he's going to give – John Ruiz is going to give, you know, Chris the Nightmare a little bit of a tussle and a run for his money, you know. You know, before I kind of get into anything else, you know, make it up any more talk about any other news or any stuff that's happened with the boxing community, I do want to mention that, you know, Fred the Hammer Williamson was going to be on the show, but I did call him and cancel it to have him on for next week because of having Roy Jones Jr. Roy really doesn't know the time frame he's going to call. He's playing basketball. He's got a basketball game, so he's trying to fit his schedule with our schedule. So I didn't want to cut off, you know, Mr. Williamson. Also, my co-host Blood came down with the flu, so he's not going to be able to call in, and really Blood wanted to be a real part of having a chance to talk to the Hammer and chop it up with them, so we're pushing him on to next week, you know. Also with Teddy Addis, who was supposed to call in last week, but he did call in, but it was on a private number, and when you call in on a private number, I wait till you're the last person to pick up, so he was running against time, so he had to hang up. And now he's up in Russia, I believe, and he's doing some training out there with a heavyweight. And God, what's the name of that heavyweight, Chris? It's
Alexander Povetkin.
There you go. He's out there working with him, and so him coming back, he says when he comes back, we'll chop it up again, and then we'll arrange to get him on the show so that we could talk boxing with Mr. Teddy Atlas, you know. So a little later on in the show, we are going to have Roy Jones Jr. call in and talk about his upcoming fight with Jeff Lacy and about other things that are going on with his promotional company and how everything else is going on with him. And is this the last of Roy Jones Jr.? Are we going to see him fight again? Is he going to go after a megastar? Or maybe, I don't know, man, I'm kind of interested about his thoughts about Bernard Hopkins, you know. But other than that, man, you know what? Also, I want to kind of announce, you know, I'm going to be at, on July 15th, if anybody's out in the Bay or in the Valley, if you want to come out and sit down and chop it up with me, among other boxers, they're going to be Juan Lascano, Brandon Gonzalez, Kareem Mayfield, amongst some other local fighters. I'm going to be at this event. It's a cigar event. It's going to be on July 15th in Sacramento at the Club Avalon Club. It's the address is 805 15th Street, and it starts at 5 o'clock, and it ends at 10 o'clock at night. So if you want to come down to this club, and I heard it's going to be pretty good. They're going to have a barbecue there. They're going to have drinks. They're going to have cigars, you know, some honeys. Hey, Chris, have you ever been to this club?
What's the name of that club again, man? I missed it.
Avalon. Club Avalon.
Oh, I haven't been there before, but I know about the club. It's a pretty nice club. You know, I know plenty of people that have been there and whatnot, including friends. So I haven't have been there because they got a bit of a dress code. That ain't really my thing. But
Yeah, you're right about the dress code. You know, you got to dress to impress. So, you know, 97 Ruff is going to be out there in a suit and tie and with a big old cigar. So I could put him, look like a mobster. So, you know. But anyways, so if you guys want to go on out there and chop it up with me, I'm going to be there July 15th in Sacramento at Club Avalon on 805 15th Street. It starts at 5 o'clock. It ends at 10 o'clock, and it's going to be there's going to be some fighters there, local fighters and some known fighters out there so that you have a chance to get an autograph and, you know, sit there and BS with these fighters and see what's going on in their mind and what's up and coming for them in the future. But let's get into the whole Chris the Nightmare. You know, I don't know. It looks to me and it sounds to me, I don't know if any of you guys had a chance to catch his press conference, you know, standofight.com was able to put it up. Sounds to me that Chris is, you know what, he's getting frustrated. He's starting to realize that nobody wants to fight him, so he's going to have to stir it up a little bit, just like the way David Haye did, and use his mouthpiece to get himself in a position to get a fight. You know, even calling David Haye a homo, you know, it was kind of brutal, some of the things that he said. He dropped the F-bomb a few times on there, but it was funny, too. I don't know, David Chen, did you get a chance to listen a little bit to the press conference of what he had last week?
You know what,
actually, it wasn't last week. It was on Tuesday. I'm sorry.
I saw the clips up, but I haven't gotten a chance to watch it. I was going to do that after the show today.
How about you, Chris? Did you have a chance to check that out?
No, I didn't even. I mean, like, I saw pictures and, like, quotes, but I didn't know there was any video floating around of that. I just know that he was basically calling out the Klitschko brothers. So, I mean, which I don't know. Personally, I don't know. I don't think he's – I don't know. I think he could use another fight or two before that, but, you know, I guess he's going to go hard or go home.
You know, man, you're right, man. But it is on there, you know, like I said, Santa Fight, you know, .com has put it up. They were able to go out there and film it. So if you haven't checked it out, you know, you got to get on there and see some of the stuff. That, you know, Chris is a funny guy, first off, you know. I mean, he talks about taking a shit on the conference, man. I mean, he calls David Haye a bunch of names, and he's like, you know what? And he made an interesting point when I was talking about David Haye. He said David Haye gets a shot at the title. He only fights one or two heavyweights, and he gets a shot. I've been fighting nothing but heavyweights in my career, you know, since I turned pro, and I've knocked them out. So don't I deserve the shot out of Vitaly or Vladimir Klitschko first before him? I don't know. What do you think, Chris?
Yeah, I mean, he is undefeated, you know, and he has been knocking everyone out. I mean, I don't know, man. You know, with the ratings and whatnot, you know, and the way people are elevated, there's so many guys up there. You can see, like, a guy like Callie Meehan, who's rated number one, and I believe the WBA. A lot of it has to do with politics, you know, and, you know, not just politics, but payoffs and stuff. So I think he deserves a shot, and I think the Klitschko's one of those two guys is going to fight him next because, you know, like I said, it's better to get him before he's fully developed. You know what I'm saying? It's better to jump on the guy before, like a Victor Ortiz. You know what I'm saying? Everyone thought he was ready for the big time, including myself, and obviously, he wasn't at that stage yet, you know, so it's best to get a guy before he has his game complete.
Absolutely. David Chen, man, what he thoughts about, you know, what I just said about Chris Lammer mentioning he's fought nothing but heavyweights in his pro career, and David Haye has only been a cruiserweight unified champion.
Well, I think that's kind of beating a dead horse. I mean, we all know what David Haye did, you know what I mean? There's like not much we can do about it. I mean, he's absolutely right. But, I mean, that's just the politics. You know, David Haye did get himself in line through talking, and, you know, it didn't come through, so I don't think he'll get another chance. I think the Klitschko's have come down a little bit to the point where they're like, you know what, David Haye can, you know, hang back a little bit. But he is right, but, I mean, what can you really do? David Haye did get that little episode from talking his way in there.
Well, let's get a local boy and see what he says about it. You know, Grindshine, I know you're down from over there from the same hood that Chris and I mean Oriella's from. What are your thoughts about it, man? You think that, you know, Chris is a little bit, he's on the right of saying what he's saying about David Haye, you know, talking his way into a championship bout where he's more deserving and getting a championship.
You know, I like, you know, Chris Oriella, we both from the IE, you know what I'm saying? I love Chris Oriella. I love both fighters, but it all comes down to branding yourself and marketing yourself. It's ever who's opened up their mouth who wants the big fights. And as we know, Chris Oriella, he's a magnificent heavyweight champion. But, you know, David Haye's not a slouch either. He was a unified champion at Cruiserweight. He was recognized as basically unbeaten before he got beat as the Universal champion. So it's kind of like, not saying comparing the two, but, you know, when Roy Jones came up, his stock was already there because he proved so much when he fought John Ruiz, and he had the goods to move up and fight John Ruiz, and he beat him. It's the same thing kind of with David Haye. He has the goods and has the skills to beat a top heavyweight. That's why everybody's so intrigued to see this fight with David Haye and probably Klitschko, because this dude can actually fight, and he's not just a mouthpiece. As Chris Areola, if he wants a big fight, I think he should put himself out there a little bit more and say, look, I want this fight, get in their face. Sometimes you have to market yourself that way to get what you want. So they both have their point of views.
Yeah, I agree. You know, and I think that David Haye has followed, you know, the roadmaps of pioneers that have done this and getting themselves big fights, a la Muhammad Ali, a la to, you know, James Toney, to even Fernando Vargas. You know, he's done that, you know, been very successful in calling out certain people. You know, Rob Riddle out of Puerto Rico, what do you think about David Haye and Chris the Nightmare, you know, about their argument of why they should have the first dibs on getting a title shot?
Well, first of all, David Haye's a baby in a big man's world, you know what I'm saying? So he don't deserve nothing. He needs to earn his way. You can't just beat a guy like Monty Barrett and expect a title shot, you know? I think he just pissed Vladimir off so bad that Vladimir, in his words, wanted to make a pizza face out of him. So I don't know what pizza face means, but Chris deserves a shot. Chris deserves a shot. You know, he's been around. He's young. And you know, this is his time to shine. You know, if he waits any longer, the Klitschkos might not be around because Vitaly's pretty old. And Vladimir, with the chin he has, you don't know what's going to happen. So this is his time, you know, and Chris deserves a shot. And, hey, if they want to argue about who deserves a shot, why don't they argue it in the ring with their hands?
Do you think this turns off, though, the mainstream fans when you see a guy like Chris the Nightmare is not really – he's known to joke around, but now he's getting kind of harsh with his words, you know, by calling David Haye a homo, calling him an F-word, you know, just dropping some pretty brutal, words in there to really market himself. You think this is going to cringe a lot of fight fans, or you think it's going to make it more intriguing where fight fans will be like, yo, man, I've never even heard of this kid yet, but now that he's talking like this, I want to see him.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at David Haye, you know, and you see the way he acts, you know, 99% of what Chris says is true, you know, so, it's, you know, people are going to agree with Chris, you know, because David Haye, as far as I'm concerned, David Haye is not likable, you know, he seems fake, you know, and it's not even promoting, it's just, like, obnoxious, and, you know, you just don't even want to see the fight because he's so annoying, you just want to see him get his face made out of pizza, I guess, if that makes sense, but anyway, yeah, you know, so it's going to...
I don't know, though, but what you just said right now, I mean, yeah, you're right, you know, he could be a little annoying, he could be obnoxious, but that makes a fight, you know, I mean, if you love or hate him, you got to respect the fact the guy knows how to punch, he can't punch, this pretty boy's got a punch behind his mouth, you know, so that does make it intriguing, and I think Chris and I and Oriella's finally figuring that out, that, you know what, I need to use this mouthpiece that God gave me to get me into the same road that David Haye's going to leading himself into. Because remember, David Haye did get the opportunity, but, you know, injuries came up about. He had a few fall out. Vladimir obviously vented out his opinion about, you know, David Haye, saying, you know, you say 1 week, then 2 weeks, then 6 weeks. I can't wait, you know. And I don't blame Klitschko. But after his interview beating his last opponent, you know, he says, they ask him, well, does this mean you're not going to want to fight him anymore? And he says, yeah, no, it's good. We're going to fight. And you know what, though? You know, Chris and David, for the first time, when they interviewed him, for the first time, I don't know if it was me, did you not see fire in Vladimir Klitschko's eyes? I literally saw a dislike in his eyes. When David Haye's name's brought up, there's a different change of character in his face, you know, by mentioning this man's name. Like, finally, somebody got underneath this very conservative champion's skin, where I think he's going to bring out the best and the worst out of Vladimir Klitschko. What do you think, Chris?
You know what? You are right. Absolutely. In that post-fight interview, he was more fired up for that than he was throughout the whole nine rounds of that fight he was in. You know, I wish he fought like that. he was definitely, you know, he sounded pissed off at, you know, Hay. He definitely, you know, spoke his piece. He was frustrated, you know, that Hay didn't get in there after talking all that mess, you know, if the fight's made and then he doesn't show up. And you're right. I mean, he definitely had a fire lit under him, and David Hay is definitely the cause of that, which is why there were so many people at that fight in the first place, in my opinion, and why everyone wants to see it, win or lose. You know, whether people think Hay has his chance or not, they see that he's bringing something out of the Klitschko, which no one's been able to do. And, you know, also David Hay has a puncher's chance because, like you said, the guy's got power. And, you know, maybe Chris saw that as well, saw that that's how you get to the Klitschko brothers. So maybe he's just trying to follow Hay's blueprint. You can't blame him for that because it's worked for David Hay.
Absolutely, man. And it's kind of funny to talk about our names, you know, because it's like we're talking about ourselves, Chris and David. But we are talking about Christian Amoriella and David Hay. My co-host Blood is obviously sick. He's out, big wuss. You know, probably drinking some vodka, got sick, so he hopefully will be able to call in a little later when Roy Jones is on. Mr. David Chin, what are your thoughts, man? The first time to see fire in Vladimir Klitschko's eyes, and could this fire possibly burn him and leave him some degrees for feeling this way?
Yeah, he's definitely pissed off about what David Hay did. I think, I mean, these guys, the doctors, but they're from that rough East European place, man. You know, they take these life and death threats pretty seriously. You know, they're like really upstanding and like really straightforward guys. You know, like I think they're the kind of guys who you can't really fuck around too much with. So, and I kind of feel bad because I felt like Vladimir Klitschko took out a lot of it on Ruslan Chagaev when they fought, and I was like, whoever goes in to fill this slot is not gonna have a good time, and look at what happens.
You know, I know a lot of guys, too, get turned off by Vladimir Klitschko's style, but really, honestly, he's just such a dominant. I mean, Chris, you know, and Dave, he's such a dominating heavyweight, though, man. I mean, it's very difficult. It's the same thing with, you know, if you're that good, like Roy Jones Jr. facing guys that really, honestly, shouldn't have been in the ring with him at the time. It was so dominating, he made him look that bad. I mean, can we kind of put him in the same breath where Klitschko is in that kind of position where he's so big and he's so good and he's so fluent with that jab, he just makes other guys look terrible.
Yeah, but the thing on, all right, let me jump off that. Let me jump right on what you're talking about. The thing I mentioned where, you know, David Hay has him fired up, I compare it to Lennox Lewis. Look at the first time Lennox Lewis fought Haseem Rockman. He fought all loose. He wasn't really intense. Then after he got knocked off, it wasn't just that he got knocked out by Rockman. Rockman pissed him off in the build-up to that second fight, and he came out and fought pissed. You know what I'm saying? That's what I want to see from
right.
Vladimir. You know, it's good to see that he's got that spark inside him. Just needs to be ignited, you know? Whenever Lennox fought pissed off of guys like Rockman the second time and Mike Tyson and, you know, guys like that, that's when people really like to appreciate watching his fights, you know, other than all those other boring fights he had.
Absolutely, man, and I completely agree with you, you know? But fighting with emotions can backfire on you. So hopefully Klitschko understands that because Emmanuel Stewart was trying to, you know, tell him, like, listen, you know, it's cool to be upset, but we gotta control it and we got to use it to be effective in our part, you know. So I want to take a real quick break because it is hot, man, and I've been drinking water like crazy. So, you know, I got to go to the John over here real quick. So go to a quick break, and then we'll get back, and we'll chop it up, man. And like I said, you know what? I'm not going to hate on David Hay or Chris the Nightmare to go after them and voice their opinion about who should get the title shot because you know what? You got to get your hustle. So next song by Slow Up, I'll Hustle Hard, baby.
Just to play, man. Slow blower, Ninja Dollar Team, let's go. You know, and I walk in a drastic state. Slow blower, I put the heat on your ear. And my eyes is blind as blood money. See, got me about to lose my mind. I'm all fidgety, wild like a crackhead. I am this mess, like the gut on the street corner. Run with the heat holders, no loose ends. And move to only win. No new friends in this life that I'm in. Got my mind in the lurks, I move with hard work. I was raised by these streets, I was made for the heat. Yeah, and I'm all in every day, sacrificing. With my life that I'm all day jeopardizing. And this block here is what I side on. Slow, probably play these streets until my mind gone. And this lights out, I play just to play it. Mean what I say, don't rap just to say it. Yeah, my brain gone, need to lead this life alone. Sleepwalking, no post, can't option, no hope. And it's maxed out, my brain black out. Thinking about these days, just living every day. I keep struggling to fight, trying to keep up my sight. Nigga, won't go right, I need this paper tonight. Yes, I do it again till I see the sunlight. Look, ain't nothing better than flicking cheddar with my block of niggas. We got love for each other, fuck with boxes, nigga. The game is enormous with skills and performance, nigga. The cops performing, these bitches be born. Yes, we frosting the ice and ripping the strip. Got the Glock on my waist that be gripping the hip. I'm saying, we got this cash to do it, just get out the game. Me, I remain, my mentality would never change. I come from the gutter with no lames and no suckers, nigga. I fuck with my brother, we getting this butter, fucker. Take it and leave it, the cash I receive it. So as long as they need it, a nigga will feed it.
Devil on My Back, and get that on iTunes, download it, check it out, man. It's a tight ass album, you know, dude's from Fillmore, California. Anyways, man, you know what, bringbackbuns.net, you guys got to get behind, if you're a hardcore fight fan, you got to get behind my man Buns and get him back on live air. He's got a home here at thewillbebloodfightshow.com. You know, you can go log on to www.bringbackbuns.com and, you know, jot some stuff down. Say, hey, yo, I heard about what's going on. I want to follow the movement on Facebook and on the website so that we can bring my man back on air. So, you know what? Anytime you got somebody talking about boxing, we need them. We need to get them back on air and to chop it up and to keep the sport that we truly love on air and among the ears of people that are barely getting into the mix of boxing. Chris, how important is it to have this guy, Steve Buns, on air at this moment?
Well, I think obviously he has more of a international, you know, because I believe it's in the UK, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, it's good for international, you know what I'm saying? And maybe that is one of the reasons why they seem to be, the sport seems to flourish so much over there, you know, over there on that side of the country. You know, if you see a lot of the Eastern European and, you know, fighters in England like you know, Calzaghe, Hatton, and guys like that, you know, with these big fan bases. So, and you don't see that out here. We got Friday night fights, but we don't have shows that are dedicated on television, at least, you know, dedicated to boxing themselves. So, you know, anyone that's doing anything positive for the community and bringing more attention to it is obviously something that's not only needed, but something, you know, that the fans like to, you know, enjoy watching.
Absolutely. David Chan, any thoughts about Mr. Bunce bringing them back?
Well, I know personally I was really envious of the UK fans. You know, I always say that the UK's got a great boxing community. You know, they really support the sport over there. They got the Boxing Hour on TV and stuff like that. We just don't have similar stuff over here, and I was really surprised when they took that down. I was like, man, you know, the UK is really doing a lot of it, but, you know, they're really doing their thing. But then I guess something didn't work out with Setanta, and then they pulled out everything. So I hope he finds another network, and I'm pretty sure he will. I think the UK fans are pretty vocal about it. It'll happen for him.
I hope so, because, you know, you're absolutely right. The UK fans are just, you know, something else, man. I mean, they really get behind their people, and they support them. And I was kind of surprised, too, when I hear they kick them off air and, you know, they email me and let me know what's happening with Mr. Steve Bunce there and saying that we need to bring him back. And I truly, truly support that, you know. So, you know, the fans of Mr. Bunce, if you're listening to the show, you're coming across the show because, you know, to let you know, we are full support. We are saying get him back on air. We need a fellow brother that talks about the sport that we truly, truly love. Us hardcore fight fans, we love. Even though we don't get him here in America, hopefully having this new technology that we got right now, the internet, we'll be able to stream up some of his shows or past shows, you know. And I went kind of last night it was kind of late last night, so I didn't really make a whole lot of effort in doing it, but I'm going to do it today, is to try to find his latest shows and stuff. And if you guys are any fight fans out there, if you can just email me or direct me where I can find some of his shows so I can sit there and really get a chance to get to know the man that they took off and hopefully get him back on air. So anyways, let's move on, man. Let's talk about Victor Ortiz. I know a lot of people had some high hopes, you know, but I know that Victor did come back and later on with a statement saying, I made a mistake saying what I said after, which is pretty much saying I'm not going to go out on my shield for nobody. How damaging was that for his career right now, especially among the Hispanic communities? I'm gonna say the word Hispanic because I did have a listener, man, that got really upset because he says, you know, about the whole, that's a whole different story. But Chris, how damaging was it for him among the Hispanic communities by saying maybe this fight game is not for me?
Man, that's almost like a death nail, you know. That's bad, because especially since that's the demographic, that's the fan base that they were trying to, you know, gear him to. Granted, they said they wanted to be like the next Oscar De La Hoya, which would be not just Mexican hardcore Mexican fans, but Mexican Americans, more of a mainstream. I mean, I didn't see that happening either way. But based on the attendance of that crowd and the way they were showing support, it looked like he was starting to build that Mexican fan base down there in Southern California, which is a really good start. But yeah, with the words he said, that is the exact opposite of what not just fight fans, you know, hardcore fight fans, but especially the Mexican hardcore fight fans want to hear from their fighters, you know. And, I mean, coming back from that, he's going to have to do something special. He's really going to have to redeem himself in the eyes of the fans. And not just what he said, Max Kellerman, you know, afterwards in his commentary, which kind of wraps up the show like Larry Merchant does, kind of just went along in questioning Victor Ortiz and what he's going to go from here. So it's going to be a long, hard road back, you know. It's not going to be easy, but, you know, the kid's had a tough life, and he's been through a lot harder things, so I think he can do it if he really wants to.
You know what, in all fairness, too, because we've had, you know, Victor Ortiz the Vicious on the radio show with us, and, you know, and he's a good guy. You know, I've had extensive conversations with Victor, and he is a truly a nice, nice kid, you know. But even though the fight came out the way it did, in the sixth round, you know, getting dropped again, having the bad gas above his eye, you know, and he, you could see that he was slowly just falling apart. He was getting gassed out. He fought an amateur fight, you know, against Madonna. But the words and the way he fought don't match, David. You know, I mean, was it a little confusing? You're like, whoa, this kid goes all for it. I mean, he really did go for the knockout. But then he had this mixed feeling about the way he felt about the whole situation after.
I can tell you that when I first heard what he said, I was kind of like, wait, what is he talking about? You know what I mean? Like, he can't mean what I thought he meant, because the stuff he said is like treason in boxing language these days. But but I think you're right. He definitely felt like he wanted, you know, a tough fight. But then afterwards he said, well, I didn't want to get beat up. But he fought in the fight in a way where he was going to get beat up. So I really don't know. One thing I'll say, though, is he came back and said, well, I'm taking back a lot of the things we said. That wasn't me. I didn't have my head on right. But honestly, I don't buy that. I mean, I'm not knocking the guy at all. You know, like, whether or not he should have gave up that fight, that's an entirely different topic. But I think he needs to stand by what he said in the ring. I mean, like, anybody who heard it is going to know. He said, you know, like, right after the fight, he was speaking from his heart, you know, and you can't go back there and be like, well, I didn't have my head on right. I just don't think that, you know, that's correct. I think he meant the things he said after that fight.
I don't know. I'm going to disagree with you about that, because when you go through an emotional part in your life, it's something like that, a tragedy, when you come out and you're trying to have the best performance in front of a town that pretty much has adopted you as a home fan, you know, a person, I think emotions do kind of kick in. You know, let's go with another hardcore fight fan. You know, caller from area code 111. Go ahead and state your name and where you're calling from, brother, and what's on your mind.
Watch
SpongeBob.
What that dude, man, is always
doing. Malik! Malik! Hello? Hello? I couldn't hear anything he was saying. Did you hear anything that guy was saying? All right, let's go with caller 760. Calling from area code 760, man. What's on your mind, and what do you think about Victor Ortiz? Hello?
Yeah?
Yeah, who's this?
I'm asking something. Ivan.
What's up, Ivan? How you doing,
man,
brother?
All right, man. What's up, man? Man, you know what? Man, I respect Victor and everything, but I just didn't like what he did, you know. Like, one thing that gets me a little pissed off is when, like, boxers actually quit. You know, it determines how much heart you have there, you know?
Uh-huh.
So, like, I wasn't really determined, like, how he quit, you know? That got me a little pissed off, but you do got to respect, you know, because physically, I think the main reason he quit is because I think he never been pressured before, you know? Like in this fight, you know? That's what I think, you know? I might be wrong or something, you know? But I don't know what happened.
I think you know. I think you're right. I mean, you know what, Ivan? I mean, and I've seen it right after. Immediately, I've seen it in a lot of blogs and a lot of people's forums, you know, that Victor has no heart, you know. But I really think it comes down to what we were talking about in the last segment, contenders, you know. That's what contenders are for. You know, contenders are out there to put a roadblock to see, hey, you know what, is this guy that good? And I think, really honestly, this Argentina fighter, first off, is going after, and these guys that come from from other countries like this that are going up in the school of hard knocks, they come to fight. They're not going to, and we've seen this happen, you know, Bredislav Prescott going in there with Amir Khan. Now, you know what, this is the ironic thing. Both these guys get, Amir Khan and Victor Ortiz get put in with big punchers and get stopped. So can we be a little bit more forgivable with Victor Ortiz, seeing that Amir Khan has been moving up in his career and really has been able to kind of more establish himself as, you know what, I messed up and I'm going to redeem myself, hopefully, among the fight fans. David Chan, what do you think?
Oh, I don't think anybody should knock him for losing this fight. I don't think there's anything wrong with that at all. You can kind of make it, you know, you can kind of say, well, he kind of gave up in the end, but it was probably going to end eventually anyway. I don't think the way he lost is going to really be held against him. You know, I think if he just didn't say the things he did after the fight, he would have been all right. But I think the only thing that's going to dog him from now on are his statements.
Absolutely, man. Let's go with Mr. Grindshine. You know, what do you think, man, of Victor Ortiz? What's hurts him more, the way he fought? I mean, does it make sense the way he fought and what he says after? Or really, honestly, was it just based on emotions?
I mean, yeah, everybody has all you guys have a good opinion about it, and it's true because he fought like he fought through the cut. He did everything, so it's questionable. Like, did he really mean what he said, or did he just get rocked so hard that he didn't understand what he was saying after the fight? And then he wondered, like, damn, what did I say because I got hit by Madonna so hard or got beat up that I didn't know what I was saying in the ring, so I messed up, so let me go back and take back what I said. I think it was a mixture of all those things. But first thing, Max Kellerman needs to shut the hell up because I'm tired of him talking about he's never been in the ring, and he has to understand sometimes you get put in with good competition early in your career, and Madonna was good competition when it came down to the plate. And when he hit him, Victor Ortiz couldn't take it, but I think Victor needs to know that he needs to be able to dish back in when he gives out, you know what I mean? And he needs to understand that he when you fight tough competition, if you don't get your way, you can't back down in a fight and just give up, you know what I mean? You got to hang in there, and you have to go back out in your shield. So there's good points of both opinions. But me, personally, I think he just got hit so hard, I don't think he really knew what he was saying in the ring.
I don't know about that, Grandstand, getting hit so hard. I think really it was just based on emotions and really finding out that, you know what, I fought the wrong game plan. I'm embarrassed. Riddler from Puerto Rico, what do you think about that, man? Do you think that he got so hit so hard he just didn't know what to say or think?
I'm sorry. Okay, my bad. I just think he was in the moment, you know, and he knew that he did not pull through, and you know, it's like this: when you get into a fight and you feel like you're going into a certain corner that you really can't get out of, if there's only one way out and it's quitting, and Victor probably looked for that way. He probably said, you know, I can't take this anymore. I'm out. I've given all I can. What happened in the fight, like Dave said, what happened in the fight is not gonna affect him. It's what he said, and that's going to happen again. If he goes back into the ring, I can guarantee you if he gets into a fight like that again, it's most likely going to end the same way because what he said is how he felt, and it's always going to go back to that spot, and I don't know if he can overcome that. You know, he's gone through a lot in his life, and I don't know if he can overcome the emotions, not the fight, but the emotions.
Absolutely, and do you feel that a lot of the Latin community is going to hold that against him so much that, you know what, the potential of him becoming such a superstar is no longer done. It's been tarnished.
Yeah, no doubt. But
well, you know, whatever Victor does, you know, obviously he's got to get back in there and he's got to, you know, redeem himself and really erase what happened. And by doing that, he's got to go now, in my opinion, he's got to go after a much tougher fight, or he could do the more smart thing. Now, if you're trying to win fans back, if you know, obviously he lost a lot of fans by what happened that night, Saturday night, but if you're trying to win the fans back immediately, you go after one of the toughest tests out there. You go back again with a rematch, or you go to a step above that, you challenge the guy, the winner of the Bradley and Timothy, Timothy Bradley versus Nate Campbell fight, to try to get back the loss that happened that night, to get the fan base back, you know. Let's go with another call. I believe I got my boy, Mr. Dat Daddy out of Detroit on the line. Dat Daddy, you there, brother?
I'm here. What's going on, baby?
So go ahead, man. Tell me what your thoughts about Victor Ortiz, man. You think that should he go to the drawing board and not try to call for a rematch? Should he try to do a different route, go for somebody a little bit softer so he can build back his confidence, or go for the gusto, go take a tough fight, be spectacular at it so that you can erase this memory of what happened last Saturday night?
Well, first off, I think he just needs to take a little break and get his mind clear because he seems, as of right now, he's not quite really set on what else he wants to do. I mean, the comments that he made after the fight about not wanting to go on the shield was devastating to his reputation because, I mean, you've had fighters like Vargas and Margarito. Say what you want about these guys, but one thing you can say is they never got on their shield. But to finish up answering the question, I think he just basically needs to go back to the drawing board, probably take a not-so-tough fight, get his mind right first, you know, get his confidence back up, and then from there he can get back into the mix. But finishing up, I think he could come back from this, but he's going to have to beat someone. Like, he's going to have to beat somebody very legitimate. I'm talking maybe a Pacquiao or somebody like that. Not saying that he will, but he's going to have gained that sort of a victory, I believe, personally, to win back all of the hardcore fans, especially Mexican fans.
Absolutely, you know, and that's the bad part is when you have such a performance like this, and really his performance was great. I mean, I got to give it to him. You know, he fought his heart out. You know, it was a back and forth war. He drops the guy in the first round. He gets dropped and, you know, comes back from it, drops the guy twice. And really, I think he thought, okay, I have this in the bag. And it blew up in his face. You know, and a lot of times punchers, when you become so puncher mind frame that when you see, damn, this dude ain't going nowhere, it can really damage your ego. It leaves you to the point where you're thinking, okay, what do I go from here? What do I do next? You know, I've already spent all my energy trying to knock this dude out, and now I can't go anywhere. And that's why we got to appreciate boxers, because these boxers really don't concentrate in knocking somebody out, like a Corey Spinks, you know, like a Floyd Mayweather. Those guys really honestly study the game that there's always got to be an A, B, and C plan, you know, and Victor really needs to go back to the drawing board and understand you can't punch everybody out, you know, and even Antonio Barrera, you know, at the time when he was knocking everybody out, he was just steamrolling through a lot of guys. He ended up going up a roadblock by another contender by the name of Poison Junior Jones. And in the rematch, he had to come back and really honestly establish himself as a much better boxer. Even though he didn't get the win, that's another story. I thought he won that fight, but that's another story. But he understood, I can't fight this all the time. And he changed his whole career around, you know, going in with Hamed and et cetera, et cetera. Now, Dad Daddy out of Detroit mentions, you know, Victor Ortiz, maybe he has got to go in and be spectacular and probably try to get Manny Pacquiao. I highly doubt that would ever happen because I think Manny already has his agenda already set, and by the time Victor Ortiz is right, because right now he's still green, until when he's right, I think Manny Pacquiao will be riding into the sunset into retirement. If there is an opponent to redeem himself and the rematch is not made, David Chan, what should Victor go after immediately to redeem his name?
Well, let's look at the way he lost his fight. He admitted that he fought a really dumb game plan. I mean, I'll say this. If you were Victor Ortiz, would you pick your next fight to be somebody just easy and you can blow him out and make it look, you know, make you look good? Or would you be eager to get back in there with somebody who can hang with you a little bit so that you can, you know, you can prove to yourself and everybody that, hey, I can go back there and fight the good fight, you know, fight a clean and well technical fight. You know what I mean? Like, what do you think about that?
Well, if I was Victor Ortiz, and obviously what I said, and he's realizing, and let's clip it, he is realizing, man, I said something really dumb. You know, I shouldn't have said this, you know, and all times, you know, you see a lot of the fighters they prepare themselves for interviews, that they prepare themselves at events, and they prepare themselves in what they're going to say. They practice what they're going to, you know, obviously what they're going to spew out before it comes out of their mouths. It's already written in their head, or somebody has prepped them before going into a conference. If any time Golden Boy really needed to step in before in that interview with Max Kellerman, you know, and what he said. So, if anything, yeah, if I was Victor, I would obviously go after the same match, which would be a rematch to show, you know what, I fought a dumb fight. I didn't use my jab, which his jab was not even there at all. You know, among a lot of other things, you know, and the reason why you go to becoming an amateur fighter is to learn how to hard pivot, learn how to pair, learn how to roll with your shoulders, so, you know, so the punches are just glanced off of you. You know, learn how to create distance, learn how to open up pockets with your jab, and obviously Victor did not use any of that. So by saying, you know what, I fought the dumb fight, well, you go back in the rematch and you prove that point. Because I think by going backwards, you know, yes, that it for marketability wise and for money wise, that would be the more smart thing to do to see if your confidence is still there. But warrior-wise, you go after the man that beat you. Chris, what do you think?
Completely disagree. Not that I don't think that's not a good thing to do at times, but not for Victor Ortiz. Not the way that fight ended, the way, you know, I mean, he kind of turned around, you know, I know this is like a thing that there's no complete 100% agreement on it, but it looked like he was walking to his corner when he got up from that knockdown. And actually, you know, it wasn't even a knockdown. He went down voluntarily. So, but the thing is, you don't want to face the same guy, because if that guy puts you in that same position, what if you end up running into danger again? He's going to start having doubts. Or if he gets hurt again, he's going to start having those same doubts. And I have a feeling he's going to react the same and may crumble. He can fight a smarter fight. You're right. He can box him. He can jab him. Problem is, he was open for those right hands all night long. That's why Maidana was starting to hit him with them more late in the fight. You know, and that ended up what ultimately led to his downfall. So I think he's better off being rebuilt, not going back to complete scrubs. But, you know, Golden Boy's got the new show, that Nokia show that you went to. Just put him on there, you know, put him against a fighter that could give him an entertaining fight, but someone that he could beat. You don't want to put him in with anyone that's going to make him have any doubts in that ring, because you don't know how he's going to react. I think the kid needs a couple confidence builders at this point. Just my opinion, but that's what I do if you want to be safe, because if he loses his next fight, he's done.
You know, I can agree with you a little bit about that, Chris. You know, I understand, I hear what you're saying, but you also got to turn the table around too. You know, Madonna obviously is up on such a high because, you know, he did defeat a guy that was considered the next Golden Boy, and right now you got to assume that Argentina fans and Argentina country is applauding this guy, that this could a little bit go a little bit to his head. And in making a rematch, don't you think that it could either be a negative for Madonna stepping in with Victor Ortiz immediately, and Victor to take advantage of it, knowing that Victor right now is feeling, you man, I did such a dumb thing, that he's a little bit more hungrier to get into this match with Madonna. What do you think?
No, man. Madonna's got the psychological edge. He made his man wilt. There was times in there where Madonna could have, you know, folded under getting knocked down. He, you know, Ortiz had the crowd going for him. He didn't, you know what I'm saying? Plus, like when he fought Kotelnik over in you know, Kotelnik's home country, the guy's been in tough spots before, you know, and Ortiz, the one time he was in a tough spot, you know, like I think it was Ivan said, you know, he couldn't handle it. He couldn't deal with it. So I just don't think you want to put him in that same spot against that same guy. Plus, if anything was proved, you know, and I mentioned this in a video after the fight, Maidana may have went down more times, but Ortiz was hurt more, you know. Maidana's shots had a lot more power on him. When Ortiz got knocked down that first time, he even said himself in the post-fight interview, he was kind of fuzzy the rest of that fight, you know, and I believe it. I mean, he got rocked hard on that first knockdown. I mean, Maidana got knocked down, but he was never really hurt, you know. So, I mean, I hear what you're saying, and you may be right, but I just think Maidana's the wrong opponent for him to step into next just because of all the psychological factors and just the matchup itself. I think Maidana's got way more confidence. He's got that psychological edge over Victor at this point.
Absolutely, man. Let's get another hardcore boxing fan's opinion. Caller from area code 760250. Go ahead and state your name, where you calling from, brother, what's on your mind?
What's going on, gentlemen? This is Big Red.
Mr. Big Red, how you doing, brother?
Just chilling, baby, just chilling. On my way home, just thought I'd get involved in the conversation.
Now, Red, let me ask you a question, because you go by the name of Big Red. Is it because you're big and you stood out in the sun too long and you became red, or what's the whole purpose for the name, brother?
You don't want me to answer that one on the radio show, dog.
Oh, so you got zits. We got zits down there, right? All right, brother. So right now we're talking about Victor Ortiz. Does he go for an immediate rematch, or should he just take some time, man, and go for a little bit more of a softer touch to redeem himself, build back his confidence, or go for the gusto to get back the fans that he has lost and stop the criticism that he has no heart?
You know what, man? I have mixed emotions about Ortiz at this moment, but I feel that he needs to get in there with an opponent, kind of like a Malignaggi or maybe even like a Juan Diaz. I mean, if not them particularly, just somebody who can actually take a hit and who boxes. Because Ortiz needs
but
to
these are smaller men, though, Red. Those are much, much smaller men. Why go after a smaller man? Those guys would obviously have to move up.
No, I'm not saying fight them individually. I'm saying somebody in his weight class that can box and take a pretty good hit. The reason being is that Ortiz, he needs to work on his defense, man. I mean, Maidana was throwing wild right hands the whole fight and connecting. Ortiz was going straight back. He was dropping his left hand. He was getting connected with these right hands that he should have been able to defend himself against. He needs to box a little bit. He's got some skills, but he really needs to work on his footwork and his defense a little bit. If he would have been able to block a few of those right hands, you know, be able to slip them a little bit with a little movement, I honestly think he would have did a lot better than what he did, even though he did a good job. I mean, he went in there and he banged it out, and he fought hard. He had heart until the end when he felt like he was just mentally and physically beaten. He kind of gave up a little bit. But he needs a little bit more boxing skill, a little bit more in defense, and get in there with somebody who's not going to hurt him, who's going to put a boxing test to him, and, you know, hopefully he doesn't knock him out right away. That way he can get the boxing experience and learn how to fucking block himself. Excuse my language.
Absolutely. I agree. I like what you said, and I think there's some truth there to what you said there, Big Red. All we do know is this about Victor Ortiz, is that he is a humble kid, and you know, nobody's right. I'm not right. Chris is not right. Chris has made a great, valid point, you know, along as you know, my brother Red, as long as well as Dad Daddy out of Detroit. But now all we got to do is sit back and see what happens next, you know. Hopefully you guys are enjoying the weather. I don't know what part of town you guys are at, you know, where it's hot where I'm at, you know. I'm burning up. Chris, I know you. We're pretty close, so I know you're feeling me on this heat, brother.
Dude, it's going to be a hot weekend, but not as hot as it was last weekend. We was up in the triple digits, so it's all good. We survived that, man, so we're cool.
Absolutely. You know, heavyweight Manuel Quesada is going to be challenging Travis Walker. There's a guy. Travis Walker is the guy that fought Chris Anamir Oriella. This fight's going to be kicking off July 16th, Thursday at the Tashi Palace. And on the undercard, you're going to have Javier Molina and Sean Estrada. The doors open at 5:30, guys. You can get your tickets at tickets.com, or you can call in the number to purchase your tickets on the phone at 1-800-225-2277. You know, it's going to be happening Thursday night. It should be a pretty good good fight card. You know, Manuel is the guy that called out James Toney several times. He wants to get James Toney in the ring. So it's going to be a little interesting. And like I mentioned a little earlier, you know, also there's Rogue Boxing. You know, they're having a good fight card July 10th at the Havoc at the Hard Rock Cafe 2 in San Diego, California. Their doors are going to be opening at 6:30 p.m. at www.rogueboxing.com. You can purchase them there. And it's a good fight card and bringing something new to the table. Stand and Fight has went out there already. My co-partner Stand and Fight Art has already been out there to cover the event and came back and told me, yo, D, you got to get out there, man. It's something else. They're really catering to the new generation of fight fans, and they're bringing some, you know, upcoming fighters and having a really good explosive card. So I'm really looking forward to it. So hopefully I get to see some of you guys out there July 10th. Red, my one of my writers, Red, the guy we had on the line right now, he's going to be out there. So hopefully that's going to be good. We're going to take a real quick break, man, and hopefully when we get back on the line, we'll have my man, you know, Roy Jones Jr., so that we can chop it up and find out what's going on with his career. Okay, guys?
No post, no sleep.
No sleep.
Got me in these streets with my
soul on knife.
All night, no rest, these streets. Got me in too deep with my
soul on knife.
No money, all power, this street.
This street.
While my blood might leak, cause my
soul on knife.
No guts, no glory, this ink.
This ink
got me all on the beat and my
soul on knife.
And I rode on that train, no brakes, on head on collisions. I'm still having visions. Me on the throne with the world in my left hand, but still on the block, gotta use what I got. And I walk with my soul on knives on gasoline blocks, matchbook ready to strike. I'm trying to weave out, but the grind is all in me. From my kidneys to the blood in my veins, and my age don't match the days I done living. The blocks that I'm on got me all in the zone. Run blind, high off life, get a rush like I'm high off pipes. Yeah, I'm in it to the fullest. Bottom of the knife, one shot and one bullet. In it to the death, no calls and no refs. And I play just to play, my man. That block I am, get it right, I die for fam.
Soul on knife,
no
no heart, no pulse, no sleep.
No sleep.
Got me in these streets with my soul on ice. All night, no rest, these streets. Got me in too deep with my soul on ice. No money, all power, this street. While my blood might leak, cause my soul on ice. No cuts, no glory, this ink.
This ink
got me all on the beat and my soul on ice. Yeah. Couldn't pay for a better story. In the gutter, the belly of the beast. And I rain dance heavy on these streets. Heavy in the heat, all in harm's way. Heaven ain't in reach. And I'm chased to this block for life. Got my shackles on, handcuffed to tripe with no limits. If it ain't hell, they curse the whole village. Embarked in the aura with lost souls roam. From the block to my verse to my bones. Fist through my spine, the thug life is mine. Right, prolific, my soul is all in it. Every line, every bar, I'm hood to the core,
the core.
And I write like I skate on ice. Under hell water and dance with Death Starter. Slow all in it, I swim in foul waters. And still can't leave, it's the air that I breathe.
Soul on ice,
no heart, no pulse, no sleep.
No sleep.
Got me in these streets with my soul on ice. All night, no rest, these streets. Got me in too deep with my soul on ice. No money, all power, this street.
This street.
While my blood might leak, cause my
soul on ice.
No guts, no glory, this ink.
This ain't
got me all on the beat and my soul on ice. And I surfed on that wave of destruction. All with the sharks, I swim with a man. No life vest, no feet, no hands. Cursed by these words, I am what you heard. Drunk holy juice trying to get my soul back. Ate off his flesh, there the block I go back. All on the block like this, all black.
All
in the swine, I'm all in the grind. Push with my soul on froze and it's like the norm. Me thugging and yeah, my blood bubbling. Walking my Air Force Ones, blood money in my Sean Johns. What? Yeah, I'm deep in the game. All in the depths, knee deep every step. Every move made like a scene to my death. And I roll, it's the life I chose. Life I'm on right now, and this is why
soul
now.
On ice, no heart, no pulse, no sleep.
No sleep. Got me in these streets with my soul on ice. All night, no rest,
these streets.
Got me in too deep with my soul on ice. No money, all power, this street. While my blood might leak, cause my
soul on ice.
No cuts, no glory, this ink. Got me all on the beat and my
soul on ice.
What's up, what's up, what's up? Okay, well, we're back, man, and, you know, I want to kind of talk a little bit about having Nate Campbell. I don't know if you guys heard, it was on fightnews.com. Nate Campbell, the following day after him being live on the air with us, he chased down a guy that was mugged, this lady, took the purse and chased him down to the apartments and got the purse back and, you know, did a heroic thing, you know. So I know a lot of fight fans were a little upset about him, you know, saying this and this and that. You know, oh, he's bringing up the race card. But, you know, end of the day, he's trying to market himself, guys, you know. And that's the way you market, you know. And he's doing exactly what David Haye did. He's doing exactly what Christian Nymer is doing. He's doing exactly what a lot of other fighters before him are trying to do, which is to get them a fight, a big fight. You know, I think my boy Blood is on the line. What's going on, brother?
Hey, what's going on, bro?
How you feeling, man?
I'm still sick as hell, but...
Oh, man. The racist man on YouTube is being called right now. What's going on, brother? First off, man, you know, I want to say this. I got to speak out for Blood. You know, I've seen a lot of some bad comments on his page and people getting on there and just saying, oh, man, you're being racist. You hate Manny Pacquiao. First off, you know, I think I speak for Chris and Dave and for Blood here, man. Look, we got nothing against any fighters. We bring up subjects that a lot of fight fans talk about. They talk about with their friends, but they're just too afraid to get out there and say it on video or on the radio or even put it. They're more safer by putting it on comments and how they truly, truly feel about situations without having to picture up, okay? There's a lot of hardcore fight fans, man, that have questions, you know, and it's just a conversation. It doesn't really mean there's any truth behind it, but it just means, hey, man, this is a subject that should be talked about. Why not? Right, Blood?
Exactly, man. You know, know, most of this stuff is things that we would say when we're around the homeboys and stuff, watching the fights, and we just bring it to light. Basically, that's all we're doing. I don't see nothing wrong with that.
And you know what? Let me say something. You know, I mean, I know people kind of jump on Blood and they think he's only supporting, you know, his views and whatnot, and Nate Campbell the same way. The thing is, if you're a boxing fan, I mean, Muhammad Ali is like one of the most beloved figures in the world, not just boxing. And back in his heyday, he was, you know, a main figure for social change, you know, and when he changed his name from Cassius Clay to Muhammad Ali, and, you know, when became Muslim and whatnot, that was a huge thing, you know, and that was something along the lines of, you know, race and politics and all that stuff. So this isn't nothing new to boxing, you know, so, you know, it's just another aspect of it, you know, and it's just giving different opinions, you know, at least we're being honest about it. You may not agree, but people aren't going to agree on a lot of things in life, you know, but I don't know. I'm just trying to, you know, say that this isn't something new, you know. Muhammad Ali and plenty of other boxers and other people in life have been through it, so no one's trying to,
absolutely,
you know, employ anything negative here.
Absolutely, Chris, and I got to completely agree with you about that because, you know, speaking about Muhammad Ali, remember he called Frazier an Uncle Tom and a gorilla because he needed that fight. He wanted that fight, you know. He needed the money, so the only way he really could just get people's ears to lift up and say, damn, you know, I want to see this fight, is by being a little extreme. And Nate Campbell is obviously one of those type of cats that's just been a little extreme. And, you know, the bottom line is you shouldn't take anything personal. You know, so by going on Blood's page and say, oh, you know, you're racist, the race, oh, Blood, why are you bringing up the race card? What are you talking about? Boxing is based on that. You know, that's why countries, that's why you see Ricky Hatton coming over here. All the Brits fly down because they want to see Ricky Hatton shut up the Yank. Am I not right?
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
You know, Mexico versus Puerto Rico. There's a rivalry between these two guys for a reason. The Philippines versus Mexico. Now it's going to be pretty soon Philippines versus Puerto Rico. That's just breaking it down. What race card are you talking about? The race card is not brought up by Blood or any of the fighters. It's race cards are brought up among the fight fans already.
Yeah, a lot of people kept writing me letters and putting in comments that you should never bring race into it, into the equation. But usually when we're at home and we're watching the fights with our homeboys and stuff, and, you know, race is an issue. People could say that it's not, but it is, though. If they say it's not, then I don't know what planet they're living on.
Absolutely, man. You know, and I completely agree. It's this is the real world and stuff, you know. But just to clear it up, I got to back up my boy Blood 100% about whatever his thoughts are, because that's the whole purpose of us having Leaving in the Ring radio show. This was made up for the hardcore fight fans. You know, anybody come on. We may not agree with you, you know, and let's clear this up, too. I mean, I'm not agreeing with Nate Campbell. I don't agree with what he's saying and stuff, but the point is, he's a guest on the show, and I'm not going to censor him what he's going to say. We got to let him speak his mind, you know, and he's like every other man. He's trying to get a fight out there. David Chen, you got any thoughts about this whole thing?
I mean, I thought we explained it on the show, you know. It's like, hey, you know, Nate is screwing around a little bit. You know, when he would, like, joke with us, we would laugh about it, stuff like that. You know, I think it's funny. I talked about, you know, this with you guys already. I think it's funny that a lot of our listeners are up in arms about stuff that Nate would say to us, you know, while we kind of just laugh it off because that's just like how we talk to each other. So, I mean, I don't think it's a big deal. I think everybody can just relax and like enjoy it for what it is, which is just boxers talking about boxing.
Absolutely, man. And, you know, it goes back to just, hey, if this is on your mind, why not talk about it? You know, obviously, let me bring this up, too. You know, we talked about the catchweight divisions, and a lot of people came down our necks about that. Oh, you know, you're just hating and blah, blah, blah. Why not let these two guys go? But look at now ESPN's talking about it. Now other channels are talking about it. Now other radio stations are talking about it. You know, we just said exactly what a lot of people were thinking, and we put it out there. So Now we're the bad guy about it. No, we're not the bad guy about it. It was just that we have balls to say what we want to say, you know. And it even goes back to, I'll even take it further back, you know, back in December of 08, you know. And I want to make sure I put this out there because, you know, Larry Merchant got credit for setting up, talking about the Oscar De La Hoya versus Manny Pacquiao, Pacquiao fight. Well, I want to get credit for talking about Miguel Cotto versus Manny Pacquiao back in December of 08 after Manny stops Oscar De La Hoya. I had mentioned, hey, you know what, he stepped into the ring with Miguel Cotto, and I had a bunch of hate email about that, like, oh, you just want to see Manny Pacquiao get knocked out. But now that the fight is possible, I see a lot of Filipinos saying it's not going to go past 2 or 3. That's a little double standard, guys. I mean, that's funny to me, you know? You know, you may not like what we got to say, but the point is this, is that
we want to see Manny Pacquiao get knocked out. Maybe we do want to see him get knocked out. Maybe not. I do want Manny Pacquiao get knocked out. I'm not Filipino, so, I mean, if I feel I want to see him get knocked out, that's on me. That's my business. That's my opinion. You know, we have the right to go for who we want to go for. Everybody has the right. I don't have to go for Manny Pacquiao like everybody else if I decide not to. And that's the thing about Nate Campbell, too, is he just said something that was true. He ain't fought no black American fighters. He just made up a point that was true. He brought something to light that was true. I don't
Absolutely,
see nothing wrong with
man.
That. We brought light on it. So what? How are we hating because we brought light on something that is true?
You know, we can. I know it for a fact we could probably be on this topic forever, you know. But, you know, we're going to move off from it, you know, because I know Blood's a little tired of it. I know, you know, David Chen and Chris, you know, we've heard enough about it, and I think we're really kind of, if you're not getting what we're saying, then you're obviously not a hardcore fight fan, you know. You're a casual fan. You're a fan of a fighter. That's it. You know, and there's a big difference of what fight fans, who fight fans are, and a fan of a fighter. Hardcore fight fans, we watch everything. You know what I'm saying? We even pay for the pay-per-views. We even pay for the ones that are really know already they're not going to be good. But we're just so addicted to it that we're sitting there going like, man, I hope there's going to be a fight of the year, because there has been some times when, and I think I speak for everybody else, where you think like, man, this ain't going to happen. There's nothing good's going to come out of this fight. And then later on you hear on, you know, a homeboy of yours or somebody, you know, you see it somewhere else, somebody's like, oh, man, did you see that fight? Phenomenal. And you're like, damn. I knew I should have paid for that. Or I knew I should have went to my homeboy's house to watch that fight. But instead I had to go out and party. You know, so we're just doing, that's what a hardcore fight fan is, you know. I want to hear a couple other hardcore fight fans, what's the definition of a fan of a fighter and a hardcore fight fan. You know, let's go with Ivan out of L.A. Ivan, what's your definition of a fight fan versus a fan of a fighter?
Well, like a fan of a fighter, basically it goes only his races, you know. If you're Mexican, you go for Mexican. If you're like a really hardcore fighter, you go for anybody, no matter what kind of races you are, you know? That's what I see, you know? So every time my friends come by, they'll always go for Mexicans, you know? And for me, I'll go for anybody, and no matter what, you know? That's how I am, a hardcore fan. You know, I always think about boxing all the time. I read boxing news, you know? That's what I do, you know? I'm a hardcore.
Absolutely.
That's what I see, you know?
Absolutely, man. Huh? Absolutely, and I think you know. So let's go with my boy Big Red, man. What's the definition of a fight fan to a fan of a fighter?
Oh, man. To me, a fan of a fighter or just a fan of boxing will sit there and ask his wife to order a fight. A hardcore fight fan will give his wife money to leave the house so he can actually watch the fight. That's what I'm talking about,
yeah.
Man. You know what I mean? You gotta sit there and get into it. I get into a fight, man. I watch a fight. I mean, regardless if I'm a fan of the fighter or not, and I my whole control is on the TV. I want to see what's going on. I want to sit there and analyze. I jump up and down. I'm throwing punches up in the air and whatnot. And I get into it. You know, I don't want to be leisure and kick back and have a taco or whatever. I want to get into the fight. You know what I mean?
Now you're lying. You know you want to have a taco. Stop lying.
All right, in between rounds, maybe.
Absolutely. You know what? 916 Chris, man, I mean, what's your definition? Let me ask you this. Let's say, man, hey, I call you up Saturday night, big, there's some fights on. I call you up, yo, man, check it out, dog. I got a couple chicks over here and stuff. What's the scenario? What do you do? Do you say, damn, I want to go, but, dude, there's some fights on, man, and I'm not going to go. What happens?
Well, since we got the technology now, first I'd say send me a picture of the chicks, then I decide. But no, man, I don't know. I mean, that's a tough call, man. You're putting me in a tough spot. That's two of my favorite things in the world. But no, man, that scenario aside, you know, I think I've said it before in the past, you know, when I know a fight's coming on, I'm turning my cell phone off. I'm telling people don't come to my house. You know, that's one of the few things where I want to watch it alone. You know, Grant, I like watching fights with friends, you know, with people, you know. I like BSing with you on the phone in between rounds. But when it comes to just sitting down watching a fight, especially something we're looking forward to, I just want to watch it by myself, and I think that's how hardcore boxing fans are. We want to analyze it. We don't want to be distracted, you know, like Red said, send the wife off or whatever. You know, that's us. And casual fans, they'll just get together. They'll go watch it at a bar. You know, they're not really into it. They kind of catch the action here and there, but they can go in and out of the room. But me, I'm focused, man.
David Chen, man, what's your definition?
Man, if your girl got a problem with boxing, you should have set it up better. I mean, you just got to make sure that, you know, when you hang out with your people, whoever, it doesn't have to be your girl, just your friends, you know. On fight night, you're not around because you're watching fights with your fight fan friends. I mean, that's how I like to do it anyway. You know, they just got to know that I'm not going to be around. You know, they'll say, what are you doing this weekend? I say, watching a fight, the end. Don't even want to hear about what they got to say to me because I don't want to think about it too much. Got to watch Manny knock out Ricky, for example, stuff like that.
Absolutely, man. Let's see what my boy from Detroit, what's your definition of a fight fan versus a fan of a fighter, man?
Well, it's pretty simple to me. I mean, fight fans, well, fans of a fighter, they're more just into a certain particular guy, like a Manny Pacquiao. So when you have a hardcore fan saying something, you know, that I'm sure they wouldn't like, because hardcore fans are going to speak their mind and basically just say what they want to say, whereas the fans of the fighter, they just take things a little too serious, too personal, you know, things like that. Never been in a ring and don't want to get into a ring, but want to take things personal and run their mouth.
Absolutely, man. Yeah, I agree with you about that. Never been in the ring, but yet, they could sit there and really criticize. I'll tell you what a fight fan is. It's pretty much what everybody that's on the panel right now. This is what fight fans are, hardcore fight fans. Everybody that comes out on the panel, everybody that's in the chat room, that's a hardcore fight fan. The casual fan, the fan of a fighter, is a dude that thinks he literally knows the fighter.
Yeah, they tend to be more biased, too, the fan of the fighter. They're the ones who tend to be more biased. They want to call us biased, but they're the ones who are more biased because they're a fan of the fighters, so they're going to be biased towards they fighter, like the Manny Pacquiao fans and Mayweather fans or whatever.
What is the funniest thing, Blood? Let me ask you this, man. What is the funniest thing you've ever heard from a fan of a fighter say to you when you're trying to break them down? The reasons why you're having such – the logic behind what you're saying to them. You know, we're not talking about Manny Pacquiao because there's some Floyd Mayweather fans out there that are delusional. There's some Roy Jones fans out there that are real delusional about certain things, Cotto fans, Margarito fans. You can name the whole list. You know, they all – each fighter has their groupies. But what is one of the funniest things? What's a funny thing that a favorite fighter can say?
That a fan of the fighter you're talking about?
Yes.
Usually they don't know boxing, so they know their fighter, and sometimes they don't even know their fighter that well because they're being so biased that they don't even know their fighter. You know, we'll end up knowing more about Manny Pacquiao than his fight fans. But I don't know. The funniest thing to me is basically when you get people who compare Pacquiao to guys like Armstrong and Ali and stuff like that. You know, that to me is funny in itself.
I'll tell you one of my favorites, man, is Floyd Mayweather. I've had a guy call one time tell me, if you don't love Floyd, you don't know boxing.
What?
And that really, 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 really puzzled me. Chris 916, man, what is the funniest thing a fan of just the fighter has said to you?
I don't think any of them are funny, but it may be funny to them. It ain't funny to me. My responses are usually funny, you know, which is why I don't get nothing back after that. But the one that you hear the most, and I'm sure you all hear it, is you don't know what you're talking about. You know what I'm saying? It's like, if I don't know what I'm talking about, why are you wasting your time watching it? You know, why are you leaving a comment? And, I mean, it's just retarded because I do know what I'm talking about. I'm no expert. You know, I don't try to act like I'm Bert Sugar or like I'm even Blood or Dave. But, you know, I do know a little something, and I'm not just on there, you know, giving stupid criticism, just talking trash like somebody's fool. So that's just the most common one. You know, if you don't think I know what I'm, I don't know what I'm talking about, give me an example. Otherwise, move on.
David Chen, what's the funniest thing, brother?
I got two. I thought they were pretty good. One of them is me. Another one is something I picked up on somebody else's video. The first one about me is I think I was saying something along the lines of I was breaking down the Manny Pacquiao versus Ricky Hatton fight, and I was saying how we can't use Manny's fight against Oscar, the fact that he dominated Oscar, as a measuring stick of how he's fighting so far, because Oscar was weight drained and he didn't do a good fight. And I got all kinds of slack about that, and a lot of the fans said, hey man, you're Asian, like you're like betraying your people by like, you know, knocking a man in like this, and then they'll call me a Chinaman in the same paragraph, right? So that's a pretty good one. The other good one I saw somewhere would be, you know, whenever somebody just says something completely ridiculous and wrong, but simply to try to hurt somebody, like trying to make fun of their race. You know, the one I saw was somebody said, you know, there's never been a good Irish fighter, and we had to tell them about Jack Dempsey and all that stuff. So I thought those two were pretty good.
Yeah, we can always get some really funny ones, man. Let's see who's on the line with us. Caller from 818. Go ahead and tell me your name, brother. What's on your mind? Hello? No, we lost him. We lost that caller and stuff, man. You know, there's so many things that are funny out there. You could fight, and it's right away, they kind of just exploit themselves when they do try to kick some knowledge, and you could tell that they just really don't have a clue what they're talking about, or they bring up some really irrelevant stuff, you know, and it's funny as hell, man. But I tell you what, you know.
Oh,
what's up?
In your case, bro, when they say they're going to come to your town to beat your ass.
That to me is really funny, you know, because when they think 97 Rough is not going to accept the challenge, and for some reason they always, you know, cow down and stuff. Area code 818, go ahead and state your name, brother. Hello? Area code 818. Are you out there? No, it keeps hanging up on me, man, you know. So, yeah, that's funny. You know, I've had a couple of guys get on there and, you know, they think by practicing with glow sticks that they're a boxer. So, you know about that, right, Blood?
Oh, yeah, I know all about it. Yeah, man.
But you know what, man, we're going to take a real, real quick break, man, and then hopefully I'm going to try to get a hold of Roy Jones right now to find out around what time he's going to be calling in, because like I said, he did not give us a set time because he was out playing some basketball. He's at a basketball game. So, you know, he's doing this thing. He's keeping himself in shape. So his upcoming fight with Jeff Lacy. So let's go for a quick break, and then we'll get back, and hopefully we'll have Mr. Roy Jones Jr. on the line. We'll be right back. Okay, man, we are back. Hopefully you guys enjoyed some of the oldies, you know, the old school hip-hop. And I think we got Mr. Roy Jones on the line. Roy, you there?
Yes, sir.
What's up, man? How you doing, brother?
Good.
Man, we're doing good. We've got a lot of people on the line. They've been anticipating you get on here and chop it up with Leaving in the Ring. Hey, I heard you had a basketball game going, man. How'd that go?
It went good. We won. We, you know, I hit a couple threes, a couple of long threes. They give me too much room. I shoot too well for them to get out of my face. So, you know, you can't give me too much room. But I see the rim, I don't need but about an inch of room. I'm going to hit the shot most of the time. So, it was a good game. We won.
That's good, man. That's good. I see you're still, you know, making sure you're active, keeping yourself in shape.
Yeah, that's all. So, that's the whole thing. That's what basketball does for me.
Right on, brother, man. Well, you know what, man? You got a fight coming up, right? It's against Jeff Lacy, right?
Yep.
So let me ask you this, Adam, because you're the superstar, man. You can obviously pick out anybody you feel like, whenever you feel like, because everybody would want to fight you regardless, you know.
Right.
Even the little guys would even try to jump up and challenge you. Why did you pick particularly Jeff Lacy?
First of all, truthfully speaking, I didn't pick Jeff Lacy, and I would never have picked Jeff Lacy. Jeff Lacy picked me. They called me, invited me to come to his fight in Tampa. And yeah, I was sent word through the grapevine that he wanted to try me. I'm like, this dude is crazy. He don't want to fight me, does he? They're like, yeah. I said, nah. So then they sent me an invitation. Yeah, come down. Jeff Lacy fighting champions. You should come watch. I said, okay. So I went down. Now, after the end of the fight, he gets the microphone and tell the people in Tampa, his next fight, he want to fight me. I said, what? He said, yeah. I said, all right. If that's what you want, be careful what you ask for, because you just might get it. And he asked for it, so now he gets it.
Hey, let me ask you this, Roy, because for a long, long time, we haven't seen RJ. RJ seems to have been put away, man, you know. We've seen Roy the Lion play with his food. You know, what is your plan with Jeff? You know, obviously, it seems like you guys got a good relationship there. He came, he challenged you, you're accepting it. But are you going to play with your food, or are you going to just take him out right away and say, y'all must...
Hey, let me tell you something. Y'all must forget, like you said. First problem is, he got the wrong nickname. Jeff, Left Hook Lacy, you should never, I'm offended by that already. You know what I'm saying? I'm coming from a call. How you going to be left hook when I got the best left hook in the game? I am the best hooker in the game. I am a professional hooker. I can hook better than anybody in this game, in the sport of boxing. Go back and look at my tapes. Y'all must have forgot. You see, I touched person's head with four hooks at one time. How many people you see hit somebody with four hooks at one time? And he got me to call his name Left Hook Lacy. Now, I'm really offended by that, too, now. So I'm going to go out here and do what I got to do to teach him and show him that I am the best hooker in the game.
Absolutely. My co-host, Blood, he's out of Florida himself, man. Go ahead and ask Mr. Roy Jones Jr. a question, brother.
Hey, what's going on, Roy Jones? They must have forgot, but we ain't forgot who the man is, though, bro.
There you go.
Hey, man. I live in Florida, man. What does this do for the state of Florida, man? Two of Florida's best going at it.
It says a lot for Florida because to be able to have these, you know, and what's funny is my toughest competition lately has been in the state of Florida. So it says a lot about the state of Florida, you know what I mean? I mean, I think I brought everybody's game up in Florida because being from Florida, they know that, you know, if you're from Florida, everybody knows Roy Jones Jr. Now you got to know everybody. You got Nate Campbell. You got the boy at 47. What's his name? That little kid from down south. Well, he's really good. He got a title right now, the BC title, I think. Bertrand.
Yeah. Bertho,
you got the Nate Campbell, you got the Lasers, the Tarvis, the Glenn Johnsons, you got a lot of cats from Florida now making a lot of noise, and they all grew up watching me rule the world, so that gave them an opportunity to let them see that, hey, if Roy can do it, why we can't?
I heard that. Hey, Mr. Jones, what do you plan to do after you get through this fight with Jeff Lacy? What's next for Mr. Roy Jones?
Are you looking past this fight?
They
got me lined up right now, and I'm not definitely not looking past Jeff Lacy because I know Jeff is a pretty good hooker, but he's just not good as me. And, you know, he's a strong guy. He has a great body. I mean, probably one of the better physiques you're going to see outside of me in the boxing ring. So I like that, you know what I'm saying? So I'm looking forward to it. But at the same time, I can't stop there. I got to keep my eyes looking down the line. I'm getting older, and you can't focus on one thing when you're older. You got to have a big picture. And my big picture is beat him, then maybe go to Australia and beat Danny Green for the cruiserweight title because I haven't won a cruiserweight title yet. And after that, I may take one more shot at the heavyweight title. Then I'll probably call it a day.
I heard that.
So you're gonna flirt again with the heavyweight? Is that what you're saying, Roy?
I'm really thinking about it. I don't like the fact that we don't have an American heavyweight champion.
There ain't nothing really up there, Roy Jones.
Hey, that bothers me in my sleep at night, too. I have a hard time sleeping at night knowing that the heavyweight championship of the world does not reside in the United States no more. I really have a hard time with that, and I'm really having a harder time with it each and every night. And I ain't getting no younger, so if I'm going to go try it again, I may well go and start getting myself ready.
Well, let me ask you this then, Roy. You know, you got a guy like David Haye that's out there and talks his way into a heavyweight bout. Is there a possibility? I mean, what do you think about David Haye? You think about this kid and thinking that he has – do you feel that he has the right coming up from cruiserweight and to go after the world champions right now?
Of course he does. He was a cruiserweight champion. Of course he has the right to do that. Whether he can handle it or not, I don't know, but of course he has the right to. I mean, if a guy is dominating his division, how can you deny him the opportunity to go up and try another division? You know what I'm saying? He dominated the cruiserweight division. How can you deny him the right to go up and try for the heavyweight title? So you have to give him that opportunity, and you got to take your head off to him for being willing to take the challenge, because a lot of guys won't accept no challenge like that. I mean, look how many years it was before a former middleweight champion won the heavyweight title. Don't think it wasn't guys that were capable of doing it. They just didn't want to take the risk.
Well, let me ask you this then. If he takes the championship bout, you know, because right now, like you're saying, there's no Americans. It's, you know, you're not able to sleep. It's bothering you. Would you challenge David Haye? Would you be willing to get in there from another guy that's from across the pond?
Most definitely. Most definitely. If he got the title, I'd be quick to get to know him. I mean, he fight a lot. He fight. He really. He's a mirror image of Roy Jones. He had his right hand. He stole all my stuff. He's good with all my stuff, and I like him. And so, and I like the fact that he thought enough of me to steal my stuff. I mean, it's like, honestly, you look at Kobe. Kobe's a mirror image of what Michael Jordan was. And the way you get better is you find guys that are great, and you take their skills and you try to add on to it, which is what Kobe did. So the fact that he really is a mirror image of the young Roy Jones Jr., of course I'd fight him.
But Roy,
what about,
you know,
the Klitschko's? Would you fight the Klitschko's, or which one would you prefer to fight?
I wouldn't care which one of them. You know me, for the heavyweight title and just to take a chance to get it back in this country, I wouldn't care which one of them. The first one that I set to bring him here. I don't care. Chris Bird beat both of them, I believe. I know he beat one of them. If Chris Bird beat one of them, why I can't? I punch way harder than Chris Bird. If Chris Bird beat one of them, why I can't? And that's why I can't sleep at night. That's why I can't sleep at night now. Knowing that Chris Perry did beat, I think he might have got a win on both of them. I know he got a win on one of them. If he whooped him, why I can't?
Right. Right. Well, let me say something real quick. Because you said, you know, David Haye's a mirror image of you, trying to be like you. I don't see that at all. I don't think, honestly, I don't think anybody can be. There's not going to be another Superman out there ever.
I didn't say can be. I said try.
Try.
Yeah, I said try. I said it's not still a lot of my stuff. Try. You know, I was the first person you heard because my dad has faithfully taught all of us how to check hook when we were kids. When we saw Floyd Mayweather use a check hook against the kid from overseas. What's the kid's name? It was the kid from they beat that one of the
other
kids that lost. Rick Haddon, yeah. He used check hook against Rick Haddon, but he said he learned that at the Olympic Training Center. He did learn at the Olympic Training Center, but you know where he learned that at the Olympic Training Center? Watching Roy Jones' old tapes of when Roy Jones was amateur. That's where he learned the check hook at. Nobody else had never heard or said anything about a check hook until we came along. We brought the check hook to the game. Not that people didn't use it, but they didn't never give it no name like that until we did it. And now they can say it and say, oh, I learned at the training center. Now, yeah, you learned at the training center, but who'd you really learn it from? So, no, none of them can't emulate me to the full potential of it yet, but they try. So when I say try, I mean I see a lot of my stuff they try to resemble and try to do. Most of them don't even understand what they're doing because I done forgot more than they ever learned. and that's no disrespect to them, but that's what the truth is.
Right. Let me ask you this, bro, because we got a lot of people online right now, and I know they want to ask you questions, but I got to ask my questions first real quick. You know, seeing a lot of these guys coming out of the Olympics, do they make you cringe, man, when you see them? Because really, honestly, we haven't seen a guy come out of the Olympics that had your style, your confidence. The machine gun, Roy Jones, when he came out of the Olympics, you were just dominating so much, and the level of skills was so fluent that it got everybody memorized. When you see these young cats coming out of the Olympics and they're not catching the imaginations of the Americans or any really hardcore fight fans, does it make you cringe? Does it make you wonder what happened to these old Olympians?
Yes, it does. And what's happening is that we are getting away from the true art of boxing. You know, you got to remember, in this sport, a lot is going on. In this world, in this country, a lot is going on now. You know what I mean? I mean, a lot's going on, and we're getting away from our grassroots, and every day we're getting farther and farther away from it. And it used to be, Olympic boxing was one of the things that this country dominated. But now, we came harder to get a medal at the Olympics because everybody else is up in their game, and we're not. We're more focused now in this country on MMA, stuff that, you know, it don't take a guy quite as long to climb up the charts in MMA. Boxing, if you've been boxing your whole life, it's going to be almost pretty hard for you to become a superstar at boxing because there's a lot more to it, a lot of things you got to learn. MMA guys, you never heard of them before. In 2 years, this guy's, you know, the world champion MMA. So it's a little bit quicker ride for a lot of them, and a lot of them are going to that. So it's hurting our true root sports like boxing because not many people are getting involved in boxing because all the attention is on stuff like the MMA, which is cool. I love the MMA. I ain't going to lie to you. I love it. I love to watch it. But the fact that people are not, it's a little bit quicker to get there, and the career's a lot shorter too, don't get me wrong, but they're not looking at that. They're looking at, you know, they see the Brock Lesnar's on TV, they want to be like those guys for a minute, and they know that's in their reach. That's obtainable because if you've never boxed before and you get 25 and decide I want to box, it ain't going to happen too easy for you. You know what I'm saying? You got to almost be brought up in boxing to become a great boxer. You don't see many guys start playing basketball at 25 and make it to the NBA. Not happening. You don't see guys start playing baseball at 25 and making the NBA, I mean, in Major League Baseball. Not happening. You understand me? If you ain't brought up in these type of sports, then it's going to be hard, whereas MMA is a little bit different. MMA, if you had any type of wrestling background or a football background or any type of contact sport and you take and add a couple other things to your game, it's possible you could become world champion. That's a great thing because it gives people a chance that would have never been able to even be considered a contending boxer, a chance to be a world champion at something that has to do with fighting. So I agree with it. I'm cool with it, but it definitely is hurting our grassroots sports. Because boxing is a sport that's like, more like a grassroots sport. If you're not in boxing from day one, from when you get from between the ages of 10 and 18, you can pretty much hang it up.
Man, I agree with you all the way on that, you know. You know, before I let any of the callers, I do want to mention, I want to thank Serafina, who has set this call up for us. She sets up every call for us, first off, you know. She's a great friend of the show, real good friend of mine, man. And, you know, I just got so much love for her and always wish the best for her. Chris 916 out of Sacramento, go ahead, ask Superman Roy Jones Jr., brother.
Yeah, what's up, Roy? It's an honor talking to you.
Hey, what's up? Hey, thank you, man. I appreciate that.
First question, you know, is just something real quick. Where's this fight with you and Jeff taking place at again?
Biloxi, Mississippi.
All right. You know, the thing is, I have a quick question about that. You know, why is it not taking place in Florida? Because, you know, you guys are both from Florida. Both you guys had your last fight there. I was just kind of curious why it's being held in Biloxi.
Well, we wanted to do it in Florida. He didn't want to fight in Pensacola, however. And because he didn't want to fight in Pensacola, you know me, I got to be stubborn and hard-headed, too. If you don't want to fight in Pensacola, then what the heck am I going to fight in Tampa for? Which ain't gonna, you know, it wouldn't be a bother. It would be a bother, but you can't let guys come in and just win stuff on you because before you know it, they don't want to fight. You feel them come from? So in this game, and a lot of people don't realize, but boxing, the fight starts when y'all first start negotiating. You can't just give up everything. You feel me? And I would have loved to fight in Tampa again, and I still would kind of like to fight in Tampa, but it's not assured that we're going to sell the arena out of Tampa because he's from Tampa, not me. So I'm not sure about it, and it's a big gamble. That way I know we probably sell the arena out of Bluffton.
All right. On to my real question, though. You know, you mentioned before, like with David Haye, there's a few guys out there definitely imitating your style or emulating, I should say. Most notably, I think Andre Ward and Jean Pascal.
Right.
I know you're a big boxing fan, and you're probably one of the better analysts out there when you were doing
right.
that for HBO and whatnot. When you watch these guys fight, these cats I just mentioned, David Haye, Pascal, and Andre Ward, what are your thoughts? You know what I'm saying? Like, do you look at them and see a lot of your game in them? And, you know, what are your observations on those guys in general?
You know what my real thought is? And it's going to surprise you, but you know what my real thought is? That's the time to stop and thank God for blessing me with what all he blessed me with, because he blessed me to be an icon in sport, so much to the fact that other people are trying their best to emulate or imitate me. And that is a wonderful thing, and that's a wonderful blessing, so it makes me feel really, really good, and it makes me understand that when God is for you, who can be against you? Because you got people in this world right now that are not trying to be like I was, because I wanted to be like Muhammad Ali and Sugar Ray Leonard. Now I'm up there and I got guys trying to be like Roy Jones Jr. That says a whole lot. You can't
Man,
buy that.
Absolutely. And Roy, you know, talking about the heavyweight fights, you know, I know you're talking about that and you're thinking about that, but really, honestly, I think a lot of hardcore fight fans, including myself, because this is a dream match that I've always wanted to see. What do you think about the name of Bernard Hopkins, man? Bernard Hopkins out there.
Can I say one thing to you real quick about that?
Go ahead.
First thing is, you know me, because the fans want to see it, just like with the heavyweight, I would do anything the fans want to see. You understand where I'm coming from? I know a lot of people don't like and won't fight Glenn Johnson, but if the fans wanted it, I would love to fight Glenn Johnson. Anybody, I don't care. The fans want to see Hopkins fight, I would love to fight Hopkins. Last time Hopkins did inquire about the fight with me, though, it kind of upset me because he said, you know what, Roy, being the legend that you are, being the fact that you beat me once already, I think I'm going to shoot you a fair deal. Let's just do a 50-50 deal across the table and go on fight. I said, okay, well, let's do that. He said, okay, but we got to first give Golden Boy 25% off top. For what? What am I giving Golden Boy 25% off? I don't have a deal with Golden Boy. You do. You understand me?
Right.
So it's a lot of ways to say I don't want to fight you. To me, that's what they keep doing. Because you got to think about it now. Before he fought Winky Wright, he said, I'm going to fight Roy Jones Jr. Then he signed to fight Winky Wright. Before he fought Antonio Tarver, he said, I'm going to fight Roy Jones Jr. Then he signed to fight Antonio Tarver. Before he fought Joe Calzaghe, he said, I'm going to fight Roy Jones Jr. Then he signed to fight Joe Calzaghe. So he always keeps saying that to get people excited about him. Then he go sign to fight somebody else. And I'm the easiest person in the world to make a fight with. The easiest person in the world because I have no promoter. I promote myself. I can't say no So if he came and said, you know what, and give you a better scenario, well, the last time they did it, which was the title when they said, you go to the most 25% on top, I got so furious about it. I said, you know what, this will tell me if Bernard wants to fight me or not. I said, Bernard, let's do this. Let's do 60 to the winner, 40 to the loser. How about that?
Well, what did he say?
Now, how much better? Nothing. Then I said, I'll give y'all 24 hours to respond. Let's do 6 to the winner, 40 to the loser. They never responded back to me, and I haven't heard them say my name no more since then. So what does that tell you? What does that tell you?
Tell me you don't want to fight.
Okay, exactly. So I can't keep chasing the guy around. Of course, I know that's what the fan wants to see, but I'm not going to chase the guy around like that. No, that's crazy. What am I chasing him for? And I done beat him one time already. So what am I chasing him for? If he thinks that's what he is, he's like, okay, fine. Go ahead on with yourself. Do what you got to do. I'm cool. I don't need no to fight you. I can go do whatever I want to do. I can go fight Klitschko. I can go fight whoever. I can go fight David Haye. There's a lot of people I can go fight. The fans love to see me fight anybody because they know it's going to be a fight. And they know I'm going to show out in the process.
Absolutely. David Chen, go ahead and ask your question, brother.
Oh, Roy, my first question would be, do you still work out to run DMC?
You know I do.
All right. And about the fight with Joe Calzaghe, and obviously we were hating as soon as you lost that fight, but
yeah.
Like, being in the ring with, you know, with a guy like that, he always stands in front of you, and like he doesn't get punished when he's in there with people. I mean, for being in the ring with him, is it because his punches hurt more than they look, or is it just that he kind of slaps you until you get dizzy?
Well, he punches a little harder than it seems like he punches, but myself too. What I had to do is, like I said, you have to make an adjustment, and I had to go back and readjust myself to back down to light heavyweight / middleweight. I had got to where I was trying to punch so hard all the time because I had went up to heavyweight. I never fought my game back down to a middleweight game until not long ago. And even in the Tito fight, I came down some, but I still wasn't always back down to a middleweight fighting style like I had, which was my speed was my best attribute. So for me to go figure it out, and when I saw that fight, and after going through a fight, it made me realize, you know, because in the center of the ring, he couldn't do nothing with me because I fought like a middleweight. But then I slowed back down and tried to go with the bigger punches like a heavyweight, and I got to stay away from that. So that's why I felt like that was the disadvantage I had, and I did it to myself. But ever get him in front of me again, that won't be the case. I got it from now on.
But, Roy, let me ask you this, man, because the cut was a big part of it, and a lot of fight fans, including myself, were upset about how – there was really nobody there to really handle that cut. What happened, man, with that?
Well, that's part of my fault, too, because I went a whole career never getting cuts. My cut man never had to deal with it. And that was part of my fault, too, because I never went through that, and I thank God I hadn't went through it. So, like I said, a lot of things happened that particular night, and that just meant that night it wasn't meant for me because everything that could go wrong seemed to have gone wrong for me that night, you know what I mean? And it's all good and understanding that I feel like had I been able to get the cut, the bleeding out of my eye, I definitely could have got the choke because I saw plenty of opportunity to get him, and I could hit him still even with one eye, but I couldn't even see out my left eye because it was just a blood when I left the center of the ring as it was when I came back out to start the round. So I felt bad, and you know, I fired my cut man for one fight because of it, because you know I felt like he should have handled that. But you know, it was a lot more than just him to blame. I mean, my coach, he should have got it well. I put the guy on the side the cut was on, and let the doctor work on the cut on that side while he talked to me from the other side. So it was a lot of people that panicked, a lot of things that went wrong because it had never happened to me before. But what I do is I put, you know, back on, that back on, be back on, put those things behind me, learn from it, and move on.
Absolutely. Let me ask you this. You know, Joe Calzaghe retiring, and obviously he's using the, you know, his final match with you as riding into the sunset. Does it upset you a little bit that he decides, hey, you know what, I got the man, I'm out, done, that's it, I'm going to seal the deal?
No, it don't bother me because, you know, you knew if he got there, he was going to try to do that, but he'll be back, you know what I mean? Boxers, they just, once they look at it, they have a hard time just saying no. So once you see me ride back to the top, he'll be back. He'll want to come back and say, you know what, now I see where he's coming from. Now I see he want to beat me at my real self. He don't want to take that loss and say, oh, he was cut, so I got away with it. No, he's going to have a hard time sleeping on that, too. What he's going to want to say is, no, get him a good cut. Get a good cut, man, or get a better situation. Let me beat you fair because he is a good person. So he's going to want a fair win over me. He's going to be satisfied with that kind of win, I hope. Because if he does, then it means that now I got to lose some respect for him as a champion because I know he's a better guy than that. But I know he's a better guy than that, so he'll be back. We'll fight again. I ain't even tripping about it.
Absolutely, man. Let's get another hardcore fight fan on the line, man. Grindshine out of L.A., brother. Go ahead and ask your question to Mr. Superman, Roy Jones, Jr.
Hey, Roy, it's an honor, man. What's good? How you doing, man?
Okay, been a fan since I was a kid, man. Me and my best friend, we watch all your fights. And what I want to ask you now, everybody's in the Floyd Mayweather era. You dominated 154, 160, 168, light heavyweight, and you dominated the heavyweight division. Why do you think that you didn't get your some people didn't give you a just due, but everybody's giving Floyd his just due, saying he's the best of all time, but they never wanted to place you. They didn't know where to, what weight division to place you in, where to put your legacy. And why do you think that Floyd is getting more attention and he didn't accomplish half the stuff you did?
Yeah, he gives them more what they want. Like, he played a money game with them. He played a filthy rich game with him. He played the fuss and the cuss and the act up on TV game with him. He do all the right things that people love to see. People love to see negativity, and you have to understand that. I mean, perfect example, you got to think about it. Let's look at this situation happened yesterday. And I don't got nothing against nobody, and I'm not saying that it's right. I'm not saying that, you know, I'm taking no side, but it's like I just saw on the news yesterday a guy fatally caused an accident that fatally, I guess, killed somebody. It was a fatal accident, so that usually means somebody died. And I don't know what the case was or how the whole situation went, but I know the guy got 90 days in jail and 500 community hours, and they say he only got to do 30 days in jail and 500 community hours. But here they go, Mike Vick supposedly killed dogs, and they proved that he killed the dogs, and he just had to go do 18 months in prison and ruin his whole career. But this other athlete ain't got to do no time out of his career. He got to do 30 days in jail, then he right back to doing what he does. And it's wrong, but nobody does anything about it. So it's like the negativity, when people decide they want to be negative towards you or when they put you under that scrutinizing pen, it's like nothing you can do to get out from under that. You know, I don't care, because when God is for you, who can be against you? So they ain't never got to give me the credit I deserve. They ain't never got to do nothing for me. God is my witness. God is my master. God is my everything. And without him, I would be nothing. So whatever he blessed me to be, whether these people see it, whether they don't, I don't care. You understand what I'm coming from? Because God put me where he want me to be. You know, they can say what they want to say. It was over 100 years that somebody accomplished what I accomplished. Why? Ain't another living man now that accomplished it and accomplished it right. Why? Like you say, it never almost came to be what I am.
Right.
Because it ain't for me to do. You understand me? And because I didn't, you know, kiss other people, I didn't let people take and promote and do what they want to do with me. Of course, I didn't get the accolades. That's cool. That's part of the way the road I chose. And I still choose the same road. And if I did it all over, I'd do it the same way.
Boy, let me ask you this, man, because you obviously created a monster. Because, really, honestly, you started this trend, which is, and correct me if I'm wrong, where you're in such a stature, you are able to pick who you want. You know, you were like, I'll fight him. Yeah, I'll fight him. Nah, not him. And now you see a lot of fighters taking advantage of that, you know. What is the difference, though, of in your time when you were doing this and the difference of what they're doing now?
Let's get it right now. I never said, nah, I don't want to fight him. Who? What y'all want me to do? Where? When? You know, the person I said nah to? They said, you want to fight Reggie Johnson? Nah, my dad used to train Reggie Johnson. They said, we don't care. He got tired of saying, no, I don't want to fight Reggie Johnson. I said, well, I'll be a champ. I said, okay, I'll tell y'all what y'all do. If Reggie Johnson decide he want to fight me, y'all pay me a little bit more money, and I will fight Reggie Johnson for y'all. Personally, no, I don't want to, because he used to come out there and use training. But since that's what y'all want, go pay the money and I'll fight Reggie Johnson. You know what happened? I went and destroyed Reggie Johnson. It ain't no such thing, no nah. The only nah-nahs I had would be people like him or like a Lou Del Valle, who was a spar partner of mine for a long time. I said, no, I don't like to fight my spar partner. I was okay, so I fought him. Yeah, I
did.
It wasn't no such thing, no nah. I ain't care who it was. If y'all say y'all want him bad enough, I fought him. It didn't matter who he was. What they do, they picking guys that they think they can beat, and they fight not me. It's like right now, they're like, well, for instance, Shane Mosley, Floyd Mayweather, to me, that's a good fight.
Right,
I'm really happy about that. To me, that's a good fight. Me, you know what I would have did, don't you? They said, who?
Yep.
Shane, bring him on. Y'all pay me a couple more. Pay me more than y'all normally gonna pay me, because I don't necessarily like the fight. Give me a couple more dollars for it to make it worth my while and bring him on with it. You understand? Bring me another $2 million to the table and bring him too, since y'all want him so bad. That was my answer always was. Bring me about $2 more million and bring him on with y'all. That was my
answer.
So that's the difference. Ain't never been nobody that know. No. I didn't care who it was.
Right, right. I think you added that. You know, that's the difference and stuff. Out of Puerto Rico, Rob Riddler, man, go ahead and ask Superman Roy Jones Jr. your question. Rob Riddler, you there, brother?
Yeah.
Go ahead and ask a question to Roy Jones.
Yeah, I was just wondering, you know, you're a big boxing fan. If you could go back in time, you know, and fight in any era, what era would you fight in?
Well, I guess the best era would have been the Sugar Ray Leonard, Marvin Hagler, Tommy Hearns era, because there was a lot of good competitive fights at the middleweight division in that era. That would have been one of the better eras to be in for a boxing win. But God knew where he wanted me at because I had something to accomplish that none of them even accomplished. I was the first one to win the middleweight and heavyweight title. None of them even accomplished that feat. So God had a reason for putting me where I'm at, and I don't wish that I was in no era, but had I been in an era, that probably would have been the one I would have chose.
Well, absolutely. Red out of California, so Cal, brother, go ahead and ask your question to Superman Roy Jones Jr., brother.
Hey, what's up, Mr. Jones? It's a pleasure to talk to you. I got a quick question for you. Coming back on that, what you're talking about, MMA and boxing, you headlined a fight where there were some MMA undercards on it. Now, do you think by having a superstar such as yourself headline boxing matches where they have MMA cards under it, do you think that's promoting fighters, our regular casual fight fans, back into boxing? Do you feel it's promoting MMA, trying to cross over, or would you do it again?
Yeah, what I'm trying to do is cross it over, because listen to me good now. I respect anybody that come in the ring and do any kind of fight. You understand where I'm coming from? Yes, boxing does take a lot longer to develop and become a great champion there, but I still respect the MMA game. I love it. That's why I told them that. That's why I did it, and I would do it again, because I love it. And I just want the boxing fans to accept it, but I also want the MMA fans to accept boxing. You understand where I'm coming from? Well, if we all fighting, why not all fight together? We all fighting. You understand me?
Absolutely, man.
Why can't we all get along? We all fighting. MMA fights, you go out there, say what you want, but your life's still on the line. You're one-on-one, man-to-man with another man. You ain't ganging up on nobody. You ain't trying to four against one. You're just one-on-one. That's the first big step in life to me right there. That's one of the biggest, most respectable steps in life, is the fact that you're going to fight another man one-on-one. That says a lot to me right there. So anybody that do that, you got my respect off top.
I remember a while back, man, not that long ago, I heard that Spider Silva was challenging you, but Dana White stepped in. What happened with that, Roy?
Dana White did what you just said. He stepped in and wouldn't let Spider come out and box, and Spider wanted to box. So not long ago, I said, you know what? Since Spider still want to fight me, I'll go MMA and fight him, because we still could just stand up and fight if he really wants to try to box me. If we go to the ground, yeah, he probably got advantage. But if he really wanted to fight me that bad, then he'll stand up and box me in the MMA gloves. We can do that. And Dana White said no to that, too.
He said no. He was real quick about it.
But Spider was with it. Spider wanted to see how good he was in boxing. And I respected him for that. And that's why I was willing to go out and give him an opportunity. He was on the one, because he was at the top of his game in MMA. So, of course, he wanted to test his boxing game. I respect that. Because not only do you want to test your boxing game, you want to fight the best that you've seen in your era coming up at that weight class in it. How much can you not respect that? And I definitely wanted to give him that. But Dana White said no. And that's why I don't like having a promoter that promotes me, or that can determine or be detrimental to my life earnings, because it's wrong, because he cost that boy a lot of money, and he probably cost me a lot of money, because a boxing match between me and Spider Silva would have been probably one of the biggest boxing events of all time, because you got the whole MMA world coming over to watch a boxing match with one of their guys. It would have been a phenomenal event. And that's the whole thing. To me, life is about having and putting on phenomenal events. Whether you win or lose, sometimes it don't even matter, as long as you go ahead and give it your all, because it's a phenomenal event. That was going to be a phenomenal event. And that was the big thing, and Dana White cost us that.
Absolutely, man. That daddy out of Detroit, go ahead and ask a question to Superman Roy Jones Jr., brother.
How's it going, Roy? Pleasure to talk to you.
You too, man.
Okay. Thanks. First off, before I ask you my question, I got to ask you if you could so kindly give a shout-out to Buddha Side Body Bangers. He's like your number one boxing fan.
Who that?
Buddha Side.
Okay. Buddha Side, okay.
Go ahead with the question, brother.
Now, my question is, okay, with all the success that you've had, you talk about how you're the Well, yeah, you are the only fighter to ever win the middleweight and heavyweight title. What keeps you motivated to continue boxing today?
Because the fact that I want to go out like I want to go out. You know, when I get through, I want to go out and go out and box and know that I was always back to being myself. And, like, last fight, my dad came back on board, got my jab back working, got me fighting back at the middleweight style like I used to fight. And when I go out and they can beat me like that, then I'm satisfied. But what keeps me motivated is that I know that I'm not through yet, and I know that God still has a plan for me in this game. So until I know that I did everything that I can do or accomplish everything that he wants me to accomplish, then I leave. Until I feel like he has closed the door and said, okay, that's the place I want you to go, Roy, then I'll be here.
Absolutely, man. Ivan out of SoCal.
Look at things like this. People say, well, he's 40 now. He should retire. But no, I'm 43 and still beating 26 and 27-year-olds. Here I was last fight against a 32-year-old Omar Chica and made me look like he was 43 and I was 32. So why should I be the one retiring?
Right.
I don't have a problem.
Right.
You understand me fine on this phone right now. I don't have a speech impediment right now. I might talk a little fast because I'm from the country. I may cut my words off, but I was doing that when I started boxing.
Right. Absolutely.
So
man.
I've been
Ivan from SoCal. Go ahead and ask your question, Superman Roy Jones Jr., brother.
Roy Jones, I got a big question. If you get past Left Hook Lazy, will you go after the Glenn Johnson and the Dawson fight?
Glenn Johnson, Dawson? Yeah, I'll fight. Look, listen to me one more time. I'm 40 years old. I ain't got nothing to lose. I ain't never ducked and dodged nothing, and I still don't duck and dodge nothing. Anybody that the people want to see me fight can get a fight with Roy Jones Jr. It is not hard. I'm the easiest fighter in the world to make a fight with.
Well, you know, realistically, though, you're a family man. Did your family ever step in and say, you know what, it's time just to move on. It's time to do the promoter thing, and why keep doing it? I mean, you know, we know you love the game and stuff, you know, but why keep putting your – I mean, I know what you're saying. You said there's nothing wrong with your speech impediment, blah, blah, blah. But do your family ever give you any insight? They want you to retire?
Yeah, they say that. They say, yeah, we know we'd like you to stop boxing. I say, okay, I'm going to stop boxing. What I'm going to do then? Go play golf every day and become 300 pounds and become unhealthy and die of a heart attack? I do a job.
You play basketball.
Yeah, exactly. I told you I'd be happy if I was doing that. No, I said okay. Well, would y'all want me drunk and mad because I still haven't accomplished what I want, or finished doing what I want to, or I feel like I still can, and y'all didn't let me go out and see if I could, so I could be miserable and become this terror at home that be mad about everything all the time because I'm not doing what I want to do. Would that make y'all happy? Nah, okay. So to me, it'd be better if I just go and continue to take care of myself, continue fighting until it looks like I don't have it no more. And I think they will come and tell me if it looks like I didn't have it no more. So until that day comes, then y'all, I really don't want to hear it.
Absolutely,
man. Sit me down in front of the TV and say, look, see that there? You're getting hit too much. You know what I'm going to say? You know what? You're right. It's time to stop. I don't like to get hit. Trust me. I hate getting hit. Trust what I tell you. I hate getting hit more than anybody. That's why I wouldn't play baseball. I always had a nightmare of being hit with the baseball. That's why I never would play baseball as a kid. I do not like to get hit. Trust what I tell you. So if anybody can just show me where I'm getting hit too much, believe you me, it wouldn't be hard to convince me to stop.
Right. Let's talk a little bit about your promotional company here, Roy. You know, obviously you got the Square Ring out there, Miss Serafina. You brought in her in to the mix of things. What's going on with that? What should the Hardcore Fight fans be anticipating for?
Well, I'm trying to continue to get these guys. I try to develop a way to give young guys a chance to, you know, better themselves, to become known in the world of, in the world of boxing. Because what has happened is that most people nowadays don't even know the up and coming fighters. Sometimes you don't know a guy until he gets to be champ, or until he finally makes it big enough to fight on HBO. So people say, well, why don't we follow boxing like we used to? Because when I was a kid, boxing was on channel 3, 5, and 10. That's free TV.
Yep.
So you knew the guys coming up. Now, you don't know these guys. Most people in this country, a lot of people don't even know who the heavyweight champion of the world is because he ain't from here. So now you don't know that no more because we don't have it. Well, I'm trying to help the world, the United States at least, to come back familiar with these guys. So I'm trying to promote fights to give young guys opportunities to better themselves, to get to where they can stay busy, because a lot of them, if you keep them fighting, they keep them out of trouble. You understand me?
Yep. And a lot of times, you know, I mean, say what you want, but, I mean, you got to think about it. People ignore the facts, but the facts are that when you're in high school, when you're in middle school, even in higher grades, elementary school, a fight break out, what you see most guys do? Flock around and see what's going on because they want to see it.
Yeah.
It's an adrenaline rush to them. So instead of teaching them proper ways to deal with it, we're taking everything away from them and forcing them to go out and do other things like join gangs or something so they can get their same adrenaline rush, or they become drug dealers where they get adrenaline rush from avoiding the law. You know what I'm saying? Or they become drug users where they get adrenaline rush from the drugs. They're going to get an adrenaline rush doing something. Why not make something legal for them that's right for them, that's going to help them maybe benefit somebody else down the line and allow them to do that? You understand where I'm coming from? So opening up different ways to get these guys fights and keep them busy is a way to help these guys provide for their families without having to go out and be drug dealers and hustlers and gangbangers. Give them a safe way to try to make a living for themselves, number one. Number two, I love boxing. I want to try to get back to it as much as I possibly can. But don't get me wrong. Like I said, I love MMA too. So if I can do shows that include both, I will do that. Because anybody that's got the heart to go out and face another man one-on-one, I got love for you.
Absolutely.
And Sarah has done a wonderful job of also trying to help me get together, put together, like, I want to start doing things, like putting together Team Fernando Vargas versus Team Jones, you know. Team, this one, guys who are legends who are not as fortunate as I am and cannot necessarily fight themselves anymore or have retired, they can come back and get them a little team together, and it gives them a chance for their name to still be out there, for them to get recognition for trying to work for the team, looking for guys that resemble who they were when they were in the sport of boxing, and they try to make that happen, because if I had a little guy like, I mean, somebody that was good enough, that I thought that looked a lot like a prospect I was at one time, and I put him against a guy that was a lot like Vargas, it's going to be almost like watching me fight Vargas in some of us our heads, because they know that Vargas trained this guy and Roy trained that guy. You feel me? So you can see our heads go at it, but in a different way.
Absolutely. So what you're saying right now is, are you working with Vargas and doing something to bring out some fight fan, some fighters that fight fans haven't heard about?
That's what Sarah's trying to do right now. She got a proposal put together. She already shopped it to the Orleans. They liking the idea. We just got to get together and figure out how we're going to make it happen, and we're going to be on and pop.
What are some of the fighters right now, bro, that you got that you're going to try to get out there to get the exposure?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of people that not necessarily a new fighter. Some of them, I mean, she got a guy named Rashad Holloway. He's up and coming. We got guys got Verquan Kimbrough. I got BJ Flores. I'm working with, maybe it's possible that we may end up working with Rico Hoy, a guy who's already been there, was on the contender. It's a lot of guys that just don't get the opportunity. You feel me? A lot of guys have been in the sport but don't get the right opportunity. So even some of those guys we're trying to work with just to get them going. You understand where I'm coming from? So there are a lot of guys out there who just don't have the opportunity to get there. And I want to become that vehicle to give them that second opportunity. Some of them, the first opportunity.
Absolutely. Let me ask you something, Roy, about Vegas. You know, because I've read and I've heard there's rumors, but I'd like to hear from you. What is it with you in Vegas? How come you never have a fight in Vegas?
I had fights in Vegas. I fought John Ruiz in Vegas. I fought James Foley in Vegas. I fought Antonio Tarver in Vegas. I fight in Vegas. It's nothing against Vegas. I don't have a thing against Vegas. That's not true. Just that, like...
But I've read where you say, you know what, I'd rather have a fight where it could be at a town where everybody can go, because Vegas is just too much for fight fans to even try to get down there sometimes, and you'd rather just take it to the people.
No, well, here's what that is. Yeah, you're almost right, but you're a little bit wrong. Let me just chat with you. What that is I'm saying that I was given the opportunity, knowing that Vegas gets all the big fighters, I would rather take a fight somewhere that people don't get an opportunity to see it. For people that can't afford to come to Vegas, I want to sometimes go to them. I want to be the one guy that, you know, if everybody else is doing it in Hollywood, California, well, I want to do it in somewhere in South Texas, because everybody can't afford to come to Hollywood, California. But that don't mean that they're less deserving of seeing a great fight, too. You understand where I'm coming from? So,
right.
Me, I want to do things in places where it don't happen all the time. That's just part of who I am. I like to take and bring you, I mean,
people that like for us on this interview, nobody ever thought that they'd hear me talk about God on this interview because this ain't a church and this ain't a religious station and we ain't supposed to be talking about God. But that's who I attribute everything I've accomplished to. That's the outcome. I like to take things places where they wouldn't normally be. If I got on this telephone and didn't mention God, then to me, it didn't do God no good to bless me with what I've been blessed with or give me a mouth to be able to speak. You feel me?
Absolutely.
And it's the same with the fight game. If everybody else is fighting in Vegas, then I don't want to fight where everybody else fighting. I mean, I don't mind fighting in Vegas and sending against Vegas, but I don't like to follow suit and do what everybody else doing. Because now you get nothing
right.
Different. You're just like everybody else. That's
right,
what I'm saying to me. So it's not that I won't fight in Vegas, it's that I ain't a big fan of following suit. You understand me?
Right. No, I hear what you're saying, you know, and you're right. And that's what I wanted to kind of clear. I was wondering about that because, like I said, I've read that and I've heard, you know, assumptions, people making up assumptions, you know, but it's always to get the source, you know, from the person that, you know what, it's, you know. When you see a guy like Manny Pacquiao and everybody says, you know, his fans obviously support him, and they say, you know, he's going to be in this, he's a great fighter. He's going to be along the lines of a Muhammad Ali or a Jack Johnson or a Dempsey. What do you think about that, man? What's your thoughts about that?
Well, you got a whole country supporting it. You understand where I'm from? A whole country. It's like what's bad about this is that in our country, you got to think about it. When Joe Calzaghe come over here to fight me, 6,000 Brits come with him. When Ricky Hatton going to fight Mayweather, 9,000 Brits come with him. When Pacquiao come over here, a pile of Filipinos come with him. When we go places, maybe 25 Americans go. You understand me? So our country is patriotism, and we don't even realize it. You understand me? We don't even realize it. But it ain't the Americans who making Pacquiao so popular. We are because they're trying so hard to beat him now that it's getting everybody involved, but it's his country that makes him so popular because they make a hero out of a guy that should be a hero. You understand me? A guy that's worthy of it, they make him worthy of it. They don't mind. It's like, they don't mind. Like us, for instance, God created us all, but we can't talk about God at school. You understand me?
Right.
But somebody so small for them, like Pacquiao, he become world champion, so everywhere you go in the Philippines is Pacquiao. They
right.
treat him that way because he is the representation of their country.
Hey, Roy.
So, and they're not afraid to make known of that. But us, no, we don't care like that.
Roy, last week Nate Campbell was here, and he made a good point. Why do you think it is that fighters could come from overseas and they get more love than the people, than the American fighters? Even here in America, it seems that way. And Nate Campbell brought that up last week. But why
part
do you think that is?
Part of it is because, like I said, the patriotism. We the only country that ain't got no patriotism no more. We kill our own people quicker and worse than anybody else does. You understand me? We hard on our own people than anybody else is. We less supportive of our own people than anybody else is. If, like Pacquiao fight, every Filipino where I live is going to support Pacquiao. You understand
right.
what I'm talking about? If I was in Pacquiao's weight class right now, if I was going to fight Pacquiao, every Filipino in this state of, in this city of Pensacola and in the state of Florida going to be representing Pacquiao. They don't give a care that I live in the same city as them. They said they first they Filipino like he is. So they first showing their patriotism and supporting their man. Us? No. Most people from our hometown, he doesn't want to see us lose worse than somebody that ain't from our hometown. Most people we grew up with want to see us lose worse than anybody else. It's jealousy and envy and stuff like that. That kind of stuff holds us back from being anything. Whereas in his country, Pacquiao can do no wrong right now. You won't have to worry about Pacquiao getting in trouble in the Philippines too often because they're not going to let it happen. Because they know that he is their representation, they're going to treat him that way. He gets
right.
special privileges. He gonna get, and he deserve it. But in this country, no, they look for a reason to bring us down in our own country. They looking for something bad on us so that they can hurry up and get us down. And this is our own country that does it to them most of the time. But that's what the problem is. When they come over, their people still show true patriotism. Our country has no patriotism. It's almost like we have no loyalty to ourselves anymore. And it's dying steadily every day. I mean, and it goes, and it's not just boxing, it's every sport. I mean, you think about it. Let's just back up and give you a quick example. Could you imagine Larry Bird in a Lakers uniform? Could you imagine Magic Johnson in a Boston Celtics uniform? Could
right.
you? Could you imagine Dr. J in an L.A. uniform? Could you? No way. Because when you
right.
built a franchise, you built some patriotism, people came, we knew for sure every year we were going to see Kevin McHale, Larry Bird, Robert Parrish, and Danny Ainge just about no matter what happened. You understand where I'm coming from? When some of them retire, break up, then you may see them go some other places and fit in. But in the hero days, you knew for a fact that's where they were going to be. Nowadays, you wake up and your best player or your favorite player or your worst player, the player you dislike the most, may be playing for your team tomorrow. it's like no patriotism no more. We have no patriotism in nothing.
Do you think that the pound for pound list holds the same amount of water when you were pound for pound, or do you think it's kind of lightened up?
You know what? I ain't gonna comment on it right now because it's not fair to some of the fighters because I don't want them to think that I'm hating on the fighters to say they don't hold the same thing. But right now it changed so much and so quick, and that's telling you that for it to change that much and that quick, it's not being respected as pound for pound to shoot the best boxer. It's more of a popularity contest now. That's all I'm going to say about it.
You know what? And I've been saying that.
You think about it. If it was about the true skills, then it wouldn't be changing so daggone often. Because even the best going to lose sometimes, but that don't mean he ain't pound for pound the best still. You understand me? But now it's a popularity contest. If you're going to beat the most popular guy, you pound for pound the best. That's a popularity contest. And that's what they've turned it into.
Absolutely. I agree. I completely agree with you. I don't have a pound-for-pound list, Roy, you know, and I've been vocal about it. Yep.
You can't, because it's a popularity contest now. It ain't about who got what. I mean, come on, dog, pound-for-pound, man, you can do everything. You can punch, you can offend, you can defend, you can punch with speed, you can punch with power, you got power in both hands. I mean, all of that. But you got, certain fighters that don't even have power in both hands. You got certain fighters that came through a four-punch combination. And he pound-for-pound one of the best? Come on.
Oh, man, I agree. You know, I got Miss Serafina on the line, Roy, that wants to talk to you real quick. Go ahead, Sarah.
Hey, Roy, what's going on?
What's up, Sarah?
Nothing. I just wanted to basically publicly thank you for everything that you have done. I think you're very accommodating. You've always, I could say this, David, Roy is like the yes man. I've never heard him say no thus far. So it's like he's so fan-friendly and just a pleasure to work for. And I just wanted to really just publicly thank him on the air because he's made my life, you know, just he's been just such a blessing. So definitely can say that. Such a blessing. And so what a pleasure, to be around. He's so much fun and just a blessing. So just wanted to say that.
And thank you for that. I really appreciate that.
Oh, yeah, always. My pleasure.
You know, I kind of got that from Roy, is that he's a very kind guy, you know, a real humble guy. And, you know, he said he's a yes man, you know. So I'm gonna put that to the test, Roy. If this is true, you're a yes man. Roy, would you fly down and leave it to the ring in your fight against Jeff Lacy, man?
Would I do what?
I said, would you fly us to leave it in the ring, staff? You know, there's four of us, man, to your fight against Jeff Lacy.
So y'all come on. Y'all come on.
Obviously, we're playing with you, Roy, man, you know, but we will, you know, try to get the credentials for it, man, and hopefully Ed Keeman lets us cover that fight, man.
We'll hook y'all up, trust me.
You know, we don't want to keep you on too much longer, Roy, but I do want to give the fans just a few more questions. I know you're a busy man. You just got done, you know, playing some ball and stuff, and you probably want to get in and chop it up with the familia, the family. Go ahead real quick. 916 Chris, man, ask your question real quick to Roy Jones Jr., brother.
Yeah, Roy, I mean, you've had this long career, won championships, you know, made a lot of money, a lot of accomplishments,
right.
You know. I just want to know from Roy Jones, what's the one thing, you know, that you got from boxing all these years and dedicating your life to it that, you know, I don't know if I want to say necessarily your proudest achievement, just the one thing that you got from boxing that, you know, that you appreciate the most in your life?
The one thing I got from boxing I appreciate the most is discipline. Boxing teaches you very good self-discipline, and that's the one thing I learned, and I think that's the biggest accomplishment out of boxing I've gotten was the self-discipline part of it.
David Chen, go ahead, brother, and ask Superman Roy Jones Jr., brother.
Hey, Roy, I think you're in a really cool position since you're a big fan of boxing and MMA, you're a supporter of both.
What are your thoughts on the opinion that right now in boxing you're still able to see more skill from boxers than you do with MMA because MMA is so new? What are your thoughts on that? And if you agree, do you think that you can sell the boxing skill, you know, in a presentable way to the, you know, basic everyday MMA fans and get them interested?
Yeah, well, here what the thing is now. Boxing skill is boxing skill. MMA, they got various different amount of skills and different styles. So MMA, I mean, you got to have your wrestling game, you got to have your grappling game, you got to have your boxing game. Those are three or four different sets of skills that can be mastered right there. But boxing is just one thing, it's boxing skills. So the thing about it is in boxing, if you can't master boxing skills, you're not going to make it. You can't be good at wrestling but not good at boxing and make it in boxing. You understand where I'm coming from? All right. You know where I'm coming from? So I think you can teach the boxing skills to MMA guys, but most guys don't really care to learn it because that's just a small part of the fight game. If you get down, you get a boxing match, an MMA fight, get on the ground, boxing ain't going to do no good now. So you can't focus on one thing in that. Hey, I'm going to call you. Okay.
Hey, does it crack you up, though, when you hear a commentator like Joe Rogan or even from the MMAs when they go, oh, this guy's got a right hand like Alexis Agoria, or this guy does this like Roy Jones? Does that make you laugh? Like, come on, man, why are you even bringing my name up?
No, it don't. I mean, you know, like I said, I got love for the fact that these guys are willing to get in the ring and fight one-on-one, so I don't really trip about it like that. But, I mean, it is, like you said, it is what it is, and true boxing skills have to be mastered to be a true boxer. Whereas with MMA, you got to master two of three things, and it could be different styles of things, but everybody, like, some guys are better at the kicking, some guys are better at the ground game, some guys are better at the boxing game, but it don't mean that you can't be better at one thing and less at another and still become champion. Whereas in boxing, if you ain't the best at boxing, you are not about to be champion. So boxing more so on one thing, MMA got like a lot of different angles to it.
Blood, go ahead, brother. Ask Roy Jones a question, brother. Blood, you there?
Oh, what's up, man? Roy, I just wanted to know if you can still get involved in any hip hop, man.
I do a little bit here and there, not a whole lot, but I do a little bit. So I got Mr. Magic still working on his another album right now. He about the only one hip hop wise guy. I got a group called Sky Tells All. That's a rock group. They're really doing good, and as a matter of fact, they're coming out that way. California, they was out there last Friday. They performed, and they'll be back out that way shortly. So they're a rock group, so be on the lookout for them. And my boys group, they still called 3D, the group 3D. They still doing their thing. They're working on their second album. So that's about all I got in hip hop right now, though.
All right.
Yeah.
Roy, before I let you go, what should us hardcore fight fans expect from you this year?
Yeah. Whatever you do, don't miss the Lacey fight because it's going to be a good one. You get to see Hook versus Hook. I call it Hook City because he called Jeff Left Hook Lacey, and they used to call me Captain Hook. And it sounds like my Hook got to be the best because the captain got to be the best one on board. So make sure you check it out. I got to teach him. I don't feel like these young fighters are as skilled as they should be, so I get to take them to school. I love it. After that, I don't know what I might do, but definitely be on the lookout and keep your eyes open because I might go up and try for the heavyweight title one more time.
What's the best nickname you like the most, man? So you say Captain Hook or Machine Gun Roy Jones or Superman?
You know, I like Superman a lot. I like Superman a lot because Superman has a lot of versatility. He do a lot of things. And that's probably one of the better ones. So I like Superman Roy Jones. Doug King gave it a name. That's only a bad thing about it, but nah, that ain't bad either.
Well, man, Roy, I appreciate you calling in and talking to us on Leaving in the Ring. It was an honor, a pleasure. You know, I had a lot of fans email me. They're like, nah, man, he ain't calling in. He's not going to come through.
Yeah.
And you obviously proved them wrong, man.
Ain't you kidding fans that Roy Jones Green is truly Roy Jones Green? He's a true legend. He's truly a fan lover. And he's truly a down-to-earth person. He doesn't think he's better than nobody when it comes to being a person. He thinks he's a son of God just like everybody else. And all of us are truly brothers and sisters in Christ, and that's the way I look at it. So when she tell me, yes, ma'am, I'm not a yes, ma'am, I'm doing anything for her to tell me, but I don't like to say no if I ain't got to say no. So if I can help you, I will help you. And it's just like how you wasn't on the show tonight, me and her got into it because I want to understand I had a game of seven, but right after the game, I'd be more than happy to do the show. so.
Absolutely.
And that's what I'm saying. I don't want to set it up and say, well, they say he's going to be on, but he's not. No, I just got a game first. It was a real big game because the other team was undefeated too, and we had to beat them, and my team would have been really upset had I not showed up for him. But I had to explain to her that after that, I can do it.
Absolutely, man. And I appreciate you calling in, man, and doing it for us after your game, because I know you,
yeah.
You know, I know after when I do some, I'm just like, man, I don't want to do that right now. But,
yeah.
You know, you keep true to your word, man.
That's all it is. And I just, like I said, I didn't want to disappoint her or y'all by not showing up when I told you I would do it, because I told you I would do it and I meant that. And I did want to make sure I did it, but I didn't want to let nobody down and say, well, you know, I got a game, so I can't do it. No, that's not the case. Then I'd be more than happy. And that's how most people get their misunderstanding of me, because they take, no, I can't do it right now, I can do it later. They take that as a no. And that's why people think, oh, he won't do this or he won't do that. And it was the same with the commentating and everything else. It's like I used to tell people, the only problem I had with commentating was they want you to come in Thursday and go to our production meetings and all that and learn things about the fighters and all. And I was a fighter myself. I don't really care about what the guy did last week. All I want to do is explain to the fans what's going on in the ring, what he needs to do to win, or why he's loose. I can explain to you exactly the fundamentals of what's happening at the best than anybody I've ever seen. And that's what my job was.
Absolutely.
But thank
y'all.
God bless y'all, and I hope y'all all tune in to Jeff Lake's fight on August 15th. We'll be on pay-per-view, and I look to doing bigger and better things this year. These hands feel fast as ever, so make sure you watch it. Watch it close. Got my hand kind of quick, and ain't no telling how many hooks you might see me throw, but I am the best hooker in the game.
Absolutely, Roy, man, and thank you again, and, you know, hopefully we can get you back on, you know, after that fight, man, so we can chop it up some more.
No doubt, no doubt.
All right, thank you very much, Roy Jonesy.
Yeah.
Well, there you go, man, you know, Superman Roy Jones Jr., he's, you know, got plenty of nicknames, Machine Gun, you know, Captain Hook, Superman, and I like that name the most too, man, Superman Roy Jones Jr., because I thought, you know, for his career watching it so early when, you know, when he came out, you know, when he was in the Olympic and he came out, I got a lot of his fights, man, that I could even put up. Some fights that never even been televised, you know. Blood, man, what's your thoughts, man, about Roy Jones Jr.?
Man, I still can't believe I just talked to Roy Jones Jr., man, the guy who I watched for all his fights. Seems, you know, like a, you know, he's real down to earth, man. Has a real great personality. One more thing to say about him, man. I wish him the best, and I hope he gets through this Jeff Lacy fight. I was actually surprised when he was talking about going heavyweight, though. But
I was,
you know,
too.
Hey,
I
always
was,
learned from you.
You know, I was really, really surprised that he had mentioned going back up to heavyweight and stuff, you know. But you know what, I was also, what I really liked about Roy is that he was able to really clarify a lot of stuff, you know, and there was some truth in what he was saying. You know, when I did ask him about starting the trend of kind of picking fighters, he said, you know what, I didn't do that. I actually said yes, but it was always money issues or the guy with, you know, nah, I want this, I want that. So, and like Roy said, I'm stubborn, you know. I'm not going to, you know, bend everybody's will. I'm going to have to get mine from that too, you know. So I did respect that a lot when he did mention that, you know. David Chan, man, what did you like about the whole interview? What are your thoughts?
Well, I'm just real happy he came through, you know. He's a real legend, and it's not every day you get to talk to somebody like that. And I think what you said is right. He did clear up a lot of stuff for us. I think he's aware of a lot of the questions people have that people would ask him, and he kind of just went out there and cleared it up. You know, I thought it was interesting that he said he might go to cruiserweight and try again in heavyweight because, you know, I've written that article where I said, well, you know, why is Roy still fighting these light heavyweights? Because if he's not going to be able to compete against the best guys, should he hang them up? You know what I mean? And he really answered a lot of those questions. So it really seems like he knows what people are talking about in terms of him.
Absolutely. 916 Chris, man, your thoughts?
You know, I'm surprised how humble he came across. You know, not to say that I don't think he's capable, but, you know, throughout his career at times, he was definitely, you know, on such a high pedestal that you wouldn't think that, you know, he would be such a humble guy having accomplished so much. But, you know, I just appreciate his accessibility and his honesty. And he just sounded to me like he's really comfortable and really, you know, happy where he is with himself in life. You know what I'm saying? He's really having fun, still out there, you know, not taking the game too seriously and just enjoying himself, you know. And I just want to thank him again. Thank Ms. Serafina, and of course, thank you for hooking it up.
Well, obviously, well, I've got to first thank Miss Serafina, because Miss Serafina always comes through for us, you know, and she's always, you know, helping us out at Leave It in the Ring. There Will Be Blood Fight Show and www.standandfight.com, man. And you know what? You're right, man. Roy, the funny thing is that I don't know if you guys remember when Roy used to talk about, like, himself as a third person, but you could see the maturity, and he's older. You know, he's 40 years old, and you can see, man, this guy's got so much knowledge. But what I did like is he did agree with me about the pound-for-pound list, Blood. Did you notice that? He said,
yes.
You know, exact same things we've been saying.
Yes, he sure did.
So we ain't crazy,
didn't.
Brother.
Yeah, he didn't really want to, you know, like he said, he doesn't want to disrespect any of the fighters. But the thing about it is, man, there is really no more pound for pound anymore. And that's just how it is. I mean, if people want to have their pound for pounds, that's fine. But I'm with you, man. I don't have a pound for pound.
And I know the younger generation is going to feel like, no, and stuff. But really, honestly, if you didn't go up in the 70s and the 80s or way before that, because, you know, I'm going to tell you this. When I was growing up, you know, 70s, 80s, I was a young cat, even in the early 90s, you know, and the old timers would be like, these fighters are no compared to the fighters back, you know, in my era. And I used to be like, what, man? Shut up, old man, and stuff, you know. But now I'm in that position.
Right.
I really see that the tables have really turned where now I could go, well, you know what, the fighters are not really matching up to the eras of guys when I grew up on, the guys that made me fall into this sport of boxing. And still, don't get it wrong, though, I love this sport of boxing. And these fighters are tough, tough, tough guys and stuff. But I do see, like Roy was saying, and I've said it, you know, time and time again, and Blood has said it before, David Chen and even Chris, you know, I think they did, you know, they agree with me on this, is that a lot of these fighters are now fighting for popularity, or they're fighting more for, you know, let me fight the megastar, you know. I'm going to go on a quick break, man, because like I said, I'm hot, you know, and I've been drinking a lot of water, so I got to go to the restroom. So let's take a real quick break, and then we'll get everybody else that's on the line, man. So don't hang up, you know, Dad Daddy, Grindside, Rob Riddler, you know, Big Red over there and stuff, you know. We're going to find out what you guys think about the whole thing and maybe about the pound-for-poundist. You know, what are your guys' thoughts about it, and do you agree with it? So we'll get back on the air right now from Leave It in the Ring, brother. It's an oldie but goodie. takes me back. Oldie but goodie there, man. So if you got your dickies, put them on. If you got your bandana, put it over your head. Get a Corona, pop it open. Don't matter if you're black or brown or white. Everybody relates to some oldies but goodies. Let's move on, man. Let's talk to the Puerto Rico guy, Rob Riddler, you know. I know Rob is a Manny Pacquiao lover and stuff, so I got to hear what Rob's got to say.
Oh, man, I'm a choke. I'm a big fan, but it ain't like that.
Man, what do you think about, either you could comment about your thoughts about having Roy Jones on the show, brother, or what are your thoughts about the pound-for-pound list?
I just want to say thank you to you, man, because it's through you that we can really live out our childhood dreams. You know, I'm probably, like, the youngest guy on the show right now, so, you know, I really, like, when I was, like, a little kid, you know, I used to see Roy Jones and be dazzled by his fast hands and stuff like that, so I never thought I'd actually hear his voice and he answered my question, you know, so thank you for, like, giving me that opportunity and stuff like that, man.
Absolutely, brother. No, but thank you, man, you know, supporting the show and stuff, because without you guys, the hardcore fight fans, you know, there wouldn't be no Leaving the Ring or There Will Be Blood. There would be no Blood Boxing. There'd be no 916 Chris Channel. There'd be no Who the Thang, the Press Row, you know. And obviously, like yourself, you know, doing your videos and stuff. But go ahead, man, but I appreciate it.
But, yeah, you know, it was great having Roy on the show. He said a lot of things I agree with, you know. I don't have a pound-for-pound list. I just have a pound-for-pound king. There shouldn't be a list, you know. When a king rules, there's not like a list of different kings. There's just king, and then otherwise, then you might as well not call him a king, you know. So
that's a good point there, Rob. I like that. I actually like that. You know what? And that's kind of hard to argue with and stuff. So that's a very good point what you said right there. You know, there's a king, and there can't be other kings and stuff. But kings can always be dethroned.
Yeah, of course. You know what? But you know. I mean, I hope Cotto dethrones him, but it doesn't mean Cotto's going to take the throne. So,
right,
but,
absolutely. Let's go with go ahead.
That's pretty much it. You know, just it was a great show and everything, but I personally feel Manny has done enough to be comfortably, not solidly, like, you know, you can just say, oh, there's no argument for it, but he can comfortably be called pound for pound king.
And you know what? And I won't argue with anybody that does put him on a pound-for-pound list and stuff. Because like I said before, listen, it's not. I'm not saying you can't have one. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying in my preference, in me personally, I don't have a pound-for-pound list and stuff. You know, I just see a lot of good fighters, and I think a lot of these good fighters out there need to mix it up and to that it could be more convincing. Who is the pound-for-pound? So there is no argument about, well, he hasn't fought this guy. We haven't done that, you know, so. I will knock down anybody like yourself or anybody else that says, hey, Manny Pacquiao is pound for pound, because that is all solely their opinion, and I got my opinion. Brother from my brother Grindshine out of L.A., man, that he's got familia over here where I'm down at and stuff, so hopefully me and Grindshine will get together one of these days and sit across from each other and chop it up some boxing. But Grindshine, go ahead and give me your thoughts, brother, about today's show, and what are your thoughts about this pound for pound list?
Yeah, man, it was a real good show, man. I've been waiting all my life to talk to Roy Jones, man. Roy Jones was like one of the main reasons why I watch boxing. I got all his fights, and one of his biggest fanatics, you know. So it was a really big honor to talk to Roy Jones. And I got to give you props, man. You came through with this one. You kind of caught me by surprise, man. When you told me he was going to be on the line, I kind of got in a shock and was going to – didn't know what to ask him, you know what I mean? So it's – man, it's ever since I was a little kid, ever since I was 13, I started watching Roy Jones. So it was a big thing. I think it was Chris that said it. I don't know if it was Rob or Chris that said it, man. I didn't think I was actually going to get to hear his voice, you know. I'm like, damn, you know, Roy Jones on the thing. So, man, I got to give you big ups for that one, man.
Thanks, man. You know what? And I'd be lying, too, if I thought, man, I was kind of like, damn, is he going to call, man? I hope he calls. I hope this doesn't happen again like Mayweather and stuff. But, yo, Roy kept true to his word. He called in and stuff. And just like you're, like, you know, Rob Riddler and yourself and stuff, I've been watching Roy for a very long time. So I was a little starstruck myself, man. I was, like, kind of fumbling and stuff because, you know, he's a legend. This guy is a legend and stuff, you know. And it is sometimes, you know, you kind of forget, man, this is Roy Jones Jr., Superman Roy Jones Jr., who we've all been watching since we were kids. And one time or another, you mimicked him and you wanted to be Roy, just like everybody wanted to be Mike, you know. So I agree with you, man. So let's go with my brother, Big Red. Big Red, man, what's your final thoughts about the show, brother? And what's your take about this pound for pound list thing we're talking about?
You know what, man? I never had a big pound for pound list. I don't know. I've never been one to hold one. It's just, like you said, there's a lot of politics and too much favoritism in pound for pound list nowadays. The show was great. Great, man. Just to talk to Roy Jones and hear his thoughts. But I have to be honest with you. When I saw him fight, I think it was Omar Sheikha, or I believe that's his name. When I was watching that fight, or that whole card when they had the MMA fights and then the boxing match, it was kind of like watching a good porno. And then somebody busted on a gay porno right in the middle. You're like, oh, hold on, man. You know what I mean? It was weird. It was awkward. But no, man, it was a great thing. And, you know, there's one thing that I'm going to put you out on blast real quick, because a lot of people don't know this, but Big Dave used to sing. He used to sing, and he needs to put some of his music on the radio.
Yeah, I heard some of his singing, too. Yeah, man, come on. He's playing Jodeci for us, bro.
Hey, Big Dave, we used to go to Pajama Studios right back in up in Oakland. Big Dave would go over there and did that one song, I Got Five on It, and we used to go up in there and do our thing or whatever. Actually, Dave was the one that was a singer and whatnot. We'd go to parties or whatever. And Dave would sit there and be doing his thing, singing or whatever, getting all the girls, and then a bunch of homies would get all pissed off because you got this pretty boy guy up there singing, and they think that Dave was weak. Dave'd be checking fools and taking girls left and right. So, Dave, I think you need to come up and just put the box in the side of some music on the show, baby. So I'm going to put you out on blast, baby, because you haven't put none of your songs on, and your shit was sick.
Hey, y'all, he actually sung a couple verses for me one day, man.
Hey,
he can sing now. He looks a little Jodeci. Go on, sing a little Jodeci, bro.
I could go anywhere with Dave in San Jose, and this guy just starts singing or whatever. I tell you one night, there would never have a problem getting behind us. They were all over. I'd just be like, yeah, I know Dave. You know what I mean? I'm with Dave, and I'll get some myself. You know what I mean? So, Dave,
well, you know
what,
baby? Man, thanks for letting everybody know, Red, you know, that, you're right. I used to sing. I was signed to Warner Brothers at one time and signed to In Your Face Records, but, man, them days are long gone, man.
Hit a couple bars, man.
Maybe another day, man. My voice is all parched right now. You know, I've been doing the interview. It's kind of hard. I got to get in the mood, and you know. But I tell you what, one of these days, man. One of these days, I'll blow up the spot, because I know I still got it. You know, I still practice. I dabble with this stuff. You know, my younger brother owns a record company, and I help out. And one of my closest friends and stuff, he owns a record company, and I do some production. But I just don't talk about it, man, because you know it's just so different. It's like putting apples and oranges. You know, when I hear guys that commentate and they bring music or they bring another sport or another scenario in it, I just kind of think like the comparisons are not, they don't make sense. You know what I'm saying? So that's why I don't even talk about music. But thanks, Brad, for putting me on blast out there, man, and making me.
You got to leave it to a good homeboy, though. You know what I mean? You put me into the box where I get to kick it back with all these good people, David Chan, Blood, Chris 916, man. It's because you, like Riddler said, and you brought us all together, it's a good thing. But I think you need to just bust out some of that musical, lyrical devastation.
What are these days, man? Daddy out of Detroit, brother, bail me out of this shit, dog. You owe me, man. So what's going on? What's your thoughts, man? You know, 97 Rough, man, he's retired of singing and stuff. He ain't doing it anymore. But what are your thoughts about boxing, brother?
Well, first of all, I want to thank yourself and Sarah Karina, is that her name? Sarah Karina for, you know, getting us the interviews with the fighters.
Mm-hmm.
And, as far as a pound-for-pound list, I mean, I agree. Basically, it's all just a popularity contest right now to me. I mean, there's a couple of guys out there, pound-for-pound, like Paul Williams and, like it or not, Blood, Manny Pacquiao. But besides that, I mean, yeah, that's where it pretty much ends for me. Like, you know, like you all said, it's not like the old days where you had to earn it, where they fought and it was, you had to earn your pound for pound ranking. It's just a popularity contest now.
Absolutely, man. I agree and stuff, man, you know. And but you know what? You know, Dad Daddy, you made a great point right here, man. We need to thank Miss Serafina. And Miss Serafina is working with Roy Jones, and she is working with Fernando Vargas to put up a card. So when they do this, we got to support them. We got to show our love. We got to go to their, anything that she puts up, we got to show the appreciation because she comes through for us all the time. Right, Blood?
That's right. She sure does. Miss Serafina, big ups.
You know, and this sister, she shows so much love to leave it in the ring, you know, and stuff, man. So, you know, Big Red got me stuck right now. He's got me over here, you know, man, you know, stuff. But, hey, you know what?
Dave, one more question. Dave, I'm sorry.
Go ahead,
Dad. So when's your Greatest Hits album coming out? I'm looking forward to it.
I'm telling you, it was on hit. It was great, man. It was great. It's one of the best times of my young life, man. Being up in Frisco, just making records and just chilling. Hyenas all over the place, and Dave was just chilling. It was great, man. I wish you guys were there. It was great.
I already see the email coming in from some hardcore fight fans gonna be laughing and making fun of me. But let me tell you something, man. I opened up for some known artists, you know. I was in the era of the Boyz II Men, so I was in a group. I did all the whole works, yeah. I didn't do the dances, man. Didn't do the dances and shit, but, you know, I was in and I held my own, and I blew up my spot. I went to Oakland. I used to take, trophies all the time and stuff, but I wasn't your ordinary Mexican. You know how Roy Jones says right now, man, he's like, yeah, look at these guys and, you know, blah, 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 et cetera, et cetera. I can tell you what. I tell you this, man, and I'm not tooting my own horn, but there's some Latin singers out there I can listen to, and I'll be like, there's even black singers out there that I know I can just turn them out. Even at my age.
In 98, 99, and 2000, all you had to say was, yeah, I know Ruff, and, dude, you had a date. It was on.
You know. But, hey, but I heard that David Chan is quite a singer himself, man. He was over there chirping up a storm at the Atlanta Fury Night. Ain't that right, Dave?
I don't know what you're talking about, man.
But you know what, man? You know, the show is almost over. Like always, it's always a pleasure to have all you guys on and everybody on the chat room and everybody that listens to the show right after, you know. And really, in all fairness, you know, you ain't got to thank me because, honestly, I'm in the same position as everybody else is here, man. You know, I'm a fight fan. You know, I'm a hardcore fight fan. I'm the same dude. I'm the same kid like, you know, Rob Riddler in Puerto Rico. Rob Riddler's me, I'm Rob Riddler. You know, I'm David Chen, David Chen is me. Chris 916, my boy Blood, you know, Dad Daddy, Grind Shine, you know, Ivan, Red, I'm in the same position with you guys, man, you know. I'm just I'm enjoying it. I'm loving it because the people that do give us the opportunity, those are the people that we gotta thank, you know, like Roy Jones or Sugar Shane Mosley, Andre Berto, Victor Ortiz, Amir Khan, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Those are the guys that we really, really gotta thank because they are taking some time out of their lives to get on there and chop it up with us and really walking in blind because they really don't know what they're gonna be walking into. We could be the biggest jerks off, you know, ever, but you know, you could tell they become very comfortable with us after knowing that. Leaving in the ring, man, we are hardcore fight fans and stuff, man. So, you know, my boy, my brother from another mother, Blood, I hope you get better, brother, you know, because I could hear it, man. You know, you sound out of it. Rob Riddler, I hope your leg gets better because you've been doing some sparring and stuff, man. So, you know, everything goes well for you. 916 Chris is my man and stuff. 916 Chris is going to be going with me. I haven't asked him yet, but I'm going to force him to go with me to Sacramento to that cigar party and stuff. David Chen, my other brother right there, you know, from another mother and stuff, always stay up. He's always a good guy and dude's a class act and stuff. You know, Grindshine, you know, from down from SoCal. Hey, brother, stay up and stuff. It's always a pleasure to have you on the line.
Most definitely.
Same thing with my boy Dad Daddy out of Detroit. It's my man right there and stuff, you know, always supporting the show. He was gone for a minute, but now he's back. Can't wait till he gets in the ring, man, and start shooting me some of his video, because you never know. We might be interviewing Dad Daddy and Rob Riddler at the same time. You know, Big Red, my boy Big Red, putting me on blast, but I got so much love for my boy Red. You know what I'm saying? I've known him since, man, back in the day. I know this dude since when I used to weigh 125 and 127 pounds and stuff, you know? That's how long I've known this cat, man. So, once again, yeah, yeah. And I'm trying to get back down to the weight now. I'm trying to get back down to 157 and stuff, man. But anyways, hey, this is your boy 97 Ruff, your boy Blood, your boy David Chin, your boy 906 Chris. Go, what's up? This was another edition, man, of Leave It in the Ring. Hey, check out next week. We are going to have Fred the Hammer Williamson. I called him up, and he told me the next time you call me Mr. Williamson, I'm going to fly back down just to smack you one because they call me Mr. Hammer.
Hey, Ruff.
What's up,
hey,
brother?
Ruff.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm supposed to be coming up north soon, man, up to Stockton, so I'm going to stop by, man. I'm trying to see me, you, 916 Chris. We can all do a video, man.
Absolutely, man. Yeah, I'm always down to do something like that, you know. Yeah, well, come on down, man, and let's chop it up. Go have a couple brewskis or whatever and do our thing, man. It'd be fun.
Most definitely.
All right, brothers. Catch you guys all later the next week.
All right, peace.
Take it easy, big dog.
Leave it in the ring.
Go ahead, who's this?
Yo, David Chen.
Is it me, man, or is Marquez just a goddamn beast?
Every time Marquez moves up in weight, moves to a different division, he's fighting the toughest competition he can find there. You know, he's not just finding a name that's stylistically good for him. He's fighting...